about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Say, buddy, you got a radio back there. What do you say you turn it on?
No, thanks. I don't want to hear the radio.
Well, maybe you don't, but I do.
Oh, I see. Well, where do you want me to turn it?
You turn the dial, I'll tell you. Yeah, that's right, right there.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Boy, this'll be as easy as rolling a spliff in Kingston Town, man.
I'm gonna smoke some weed. I got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunting, looking for a pot shop. This is awesome.
Walk into my house, like, what up? I got some good pot. I'm just pumped up, got some herb from the pot shop. Ice in my fridge, it used to be frosty. My friend's like, damn, that's a stoned ass donkey.
Dad, are you gonna get high?
Is the Pope Catholic?
I don't know, they got a new Pope, didn't they?
Is he Catholic?
Wow, I'm gonna get high with my dad. This is awesome.
You goddamn dumb stoner.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I've got a bad feeling about this.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I didn't start it.
Roll another one.
Dumb son of a bitch.
Just like the other one.
Are you kidding me? Get it together.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Is this thing on?
And I need another.
It's our time to shine. 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 I'm wasted.
Roll another one.
We're all just people.
Right?
Just like the other one.
I'm not good at this.
This one seems to be about.
Could you explain that?
I don't have another sense.
I have a great relationship with the blacks. I've always had a great relationship with the blacks.
It's about ideas, bro.
Just pass it around.
Are you ready to get sexy?
No. Make better choices.
And now, the winner of American Idol Season 15 is
our feature presentation.
No!
We're still waiting. He never opened the envelope. It's terrible. He's still on the stage. Wow. No one is left at the Dolby Theater just waiting to find out the answer.
Half the people are asleep.
Right. By the way, you guys don't care about American Idol.
Right.
I should probably save this conversation for
okay.
Ralph.
Okay, good.
I hope he watched
that. No,
last
that's
night.
A good idea.
A phenomenal. Look, I haven't watched it in years.
Right.
Years.
Right.
I thought, you know what? Last one. Tune in.
Didn't you just identify us as the wrong crowd?
I kept the streak alive. Just kept not watching it. Felt real good.
Allie's salad.
Yeah.
Solid.
I'm also salad.
Yeah. Allie is salad. It was a phenomenal finale, and you forget how many truly talented people came out of that show. That's it. I'll save the rest of it for later. But I did want to talk to it is Friday morning, by the way, 8th of April. Welcome in to another all-new Kevin Bean Show, you guys. I did want to talk to you guys about something I know. You are the target audience
okay.
for this, mm-hmm. and that is because I avoid car chases the way you avoid American Idol.
Love it so much.
This would be a good opportunity for Allie. I know in particular you were all hopped up on what went down yesterday throughout the streets of Southern California. The chase started in Cerritos. It went through downtown L.A., Hollywood Hills, Exposition Park, South L.A. Tell me all about it.
It was unlike anything I've ever seen before. First of all, it's raining.
Right.
So there's an element of danger.
Right.
They're in a convertible, and the convertible wouldn't go up. So they are just getting rained on. But they're also driving around and, like, talking to people and waving.
You say they. How many?
Two guys.
Okay.
Throwing things from the car. At one point on Hollywood Boulevard, doing donuts.
Really?
Doing donuts.
Now, I saw the gif of that, and I wanted to know if they were intentionally doing donuts or were they just driving fast and flip, you know, the car was spinning because it was getting caught in the rain, the wet pavement.
Totally intentional.
They were doing it on purpose.
Yeah. And then at one point they were on the freeway and a TMZ tour bus, the tour bus driver said he didn't see them. He was just changing lanes.
Right.
Boxed them in. So
really?
I was like, TMZ getting into it, finishing this. But then they got away. But then they would drive up next to people and like wave, chit chat. At one point, cops threw a strip. That one worked.
Spike strip, yes.
Spike strip.
Mm-hmm.
Still went another like 45 minutes. Couldn't figure it out. Then another point, they tried
to throw another strip. So their front right tire, if I understand correctly, they blew it out. So they're driving on the rim, right? Three wheels and a rim?
You couldn't tell if they were driving on the rim the whole time. It's at a couple times the rim would just stop moving. So you're like, is something locked up in the rim? Nothing made sense with this.
How do you drive like that?
Well. Apparently.
And they weren't going really fast because I swear they were like throwing mixtapes out. I wasn't sure what was happening.
Yeah, I was curious what, because a lot of times in these car chases, if somebody's throwing something out, it's something they don't want the police to discover at the end of it.
Right. Somebody
drugs,
on Twitter.
Usually drugs or weapons.
Someone on Twitter said that Fox said it was bread. Like, well, that's
an
odd choice. Just a loaf of bread.
They're just helping people.
Right.
Yes, they care.
Yeah. And then towards the end, I was thinking, this is the most bizarre thing I've ever seen. They pulled up next to the cops at a light. Stopped, had a little chat,
right,
and then drove. I'm like, at some point, you're going to maybe pull them over, do something.
Right.
I don't know. So then they got to a residential neighborhood.
Do you think that they said something to the cops like, hey, let me get to this location that I want to get to, and then I'll get out of the car? Like,
well,
the cops,
now I think.
Rather than pulling them over, the cops thought, oh, maybe this is a way to mutually agree to an end to this chase without it getting dangerous.
Possibly.
I feel like if there's a chase and they're not pulling over, they're not going to go, okay, yeah. Yeah, we'll give you five.
That's why I'm saying this whole thing was weird. But now I'm possibly thinking he did say, listen, I'm just going to go to my friend's house.
But, Kevin, remember OG in the White Bronco who said, you know, I just want to go to my house first before I turn myself in. Maybe
right.
It was a sort of a deal like that.
Okay. So what'd you hear?
I mean, I don't know. I didn't see it, and I have no idea what words were exchanged.
Then be quiet. Let's have Allie talk.
But I'm just speaking to Allie's point, which is, you know, what happened in that transaction? Why didn't the police pull him over? Maybe that's why they thought it would be safer not to if he was going to give himself up in 5 minutes.
So they go to a residential area. They pull to the middle of the street. Mm-hmm. People are running out, taking selfies with them, doing all that. They're going so like they're in a freaking parade. They then stop the car. The driver gets out, sits on the hood of the car, crosses his arms. They start taking more selfies with him. And I'm thinking, okay, the police are obviously right behind. Nope. About a minute goes by. I'm like, what's happening?
And they were still sitting on the hood?
They're waiting for the police.
They're waiting for the police at this point. And then it got so long that there's this line of cars behind them from people following the chase that they're like, well, we should probably pull the car over and, like, park it so we're not blocking traffic.
Right.
The most courteous of moves. And then I was watching Channel 9, and they were saying, well, it started off with the sheriffs, and then they passed it off to LAPD, then they passed it off to another division. So he was saying maybe they were trying to figure out who takes it from here. And I'm screaming at my TV. I'm like, they should have thought of this before.
Or have that conversation once the suspects are on the ground in handcuffs.
It was insane to watch. But then they just literally pulled up, walked up to him, and the guy was like, all right, walked up, put his hands behind his back. It was the craziest thing I have ever seen on local television.
I was really depressed when I read your tweet. I was like,
sorry.
I missed some great TV.
Yeah. I'm telling you, from all my years working in the news and being born and raised here, the best car chase I've ever seen. Yeah.
So good. Better than the tank?
Better than the tank and better than the guy throwing in the money.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
I know that people are stupid. I get that. But who runs up to somebody who has just led police on a 45-minute chase or whatever it is and you don't know anything about this person? You don't know if they're gonna kill themselves, if they're gonna kill anyone who comes near them. To run up to those people when they get out of their car for selfies, that's an insane lack of awareness, isn't it?
But a pretty cool selfie.
The dumbest thing ever.
No one will know who that person is, Kevin. You wouldn't recognize that guy's face today who was driving that car yesterday. That's a worthless selfie.
No, they can hold up the selfie and go, this is the guy that got shot right in front of me last night.
That's what to do. Right.
I will say this. Whatever tires they were using, it needs to be in an ad because they got through up canyons. They went up Laurel Canyon, went down Mulholland. And supposedly one of the tires was done for. And you're going through a canyon?
Mm-hmm. If you're going to run from the cops, you got to trust your car with Firestone.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yes.
You know who the big the other big loser in this thing is, and you briefly touched on the TMZ driver. He is a terrible driver if he didn't see the car in the lane next to him that he was just trying to merge right, he said, to get away because he heard the police sirens behind him. He didn't even look at the traffic next to him.
I don't know if that's him saying, I wasn't trying to box him in. Please don't give me another ticket.
Do you think he was trying to box him in?
Absolutely. Really? It's what it looked like. Everybody watching was like, oh, damn, TMZ handling it. That's what they said.
I wonder if he – really? Yeah. Can I hear that again?
No.
I wonder if he made an announcement. Hey, I got to box somebody in, everybody. It's going to just be a slight pause in your
tour. Listen, tourists from Germany, what we're doing now. Can you imagine being on that tour, though?
That's awesome.
Happening?
Were there passengers on the tour?
I don't know, but I hope so.
I hope it was packed.
Oh, me too.
That's so sweet.
Well, I've rarely seen Allie as excited as she was yesterday over this car chase.
I don't like car chases. I usually am like, okay, there it is. But I had it picture in picture while I was watching the Frozen Four. And then I'm like, okay, screw the Frozen Four for a bit. I am all car chase right now.
It won you over.
It did.
Wow.
And we just did that phone topic a couple of weeks ago with our listeners who have escaped or tried to escape from the police. And I'm thinking, these guys were only up for burglary.
Right.
They made it 20 times worse for themselves, right?
Right. Yeah. Right.
Because you add all those charges on.
Yes, but why do you always try to apply logic?
Because it doesn't make any sense.
Usually drunk or drugs.
Yeah. And they were criminals.
They would already be out of jail right now if they hadn't run, is what I'm saying. It's not a bright moon.
You get out of jail for burglary the next morning?
Uh-huh. Well, I assume they would have posted bail. I don't know if they – I don't know what the circumstances are, what they were charged with, but it was a – they made it worse. That's all I'm saying. Worse for everybody. And worse for America.
Not worse for America. No.
No. Anyone that saw that would say, no, sir.
Correct.
All right.
USA! 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 USA!
That's why this country is great. Right?
Oh, that's why.
Is that what we're saying?
I wasn't, but sure.
I feel like that's what you were going for.
I just didn't know it. Yes.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Is he a racist? Yes.
On the program today, we have Pia Toscano.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Now, she performed last night on American Idol, Bean?
She sure did. Did a little all by myself. She still got it.
Still got it. Also on the program today, we have Paul Rubens.
Oh, you know what? I take it back. He was not on the show last night.
Talking about Pee-wee's Big Holiday. That's coming up this morning. We have Melissa McCarthy, who is the star of The Boss. We have the Movie Beat because it's Friday, and we have our old friend and pal and comedian, Jay Moore, will join us in studio as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
You can't say that word, I don't think, even on Friday.
What?
No.
When did that change?
It's never been acceptable.
What?
I think in the 30s, maybe, is when those rules came in about words you can't say.
You say rain is bull pucky. That's what
I don't know that I could pull that off.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Rain is awesome, by the way.
Except for where it's terrible. Right.
What?
I'm with you right up until the fact that
why
it's terrible.
Why is it terrible?
I don't know. I grew up in Phoenix. I love the sun.
It's not our fault.
It could be sunny 365 days a year. I'd be perfectly happy.
Nope.
Well, what if we just throw some sand around, get a cactus, and I'll be racist? Would that make you feel more at home? Would that make you feel like you're back in Arizona? I feel like maybe it would. It's a great option.
Jeez.
That's the best thing you've ever said.
What the hell's going on here? Rain is awesome. We have so much sun all the time in Southern California, which is great. But it's nice to get just some weather once in a while.
Absolutely.
That's what I meant. Nice break. You're alive.
That's what I meant.
We're also in a little thing called a drought. So every little bit helps.
Well, actually, the rain in L.A. doesn't really help us, Allie. I learned this.
It does if we got a ton of it.
No, no. You need what you need is rain and snow in the Sierra Nevadas.
Right.
Apparently, that's where the snowpack is, and that's where we get our water from.
Sure.
Water that lands in Los Angeles just runs off into the ocean.
Not if you have rain receptacles, and that's how you water all the plants that you then eat.
Okay. Is that I forgot about your situation on the commune.
Thank you.
Yes. Science.
Okay.
By the way, it does help in that nobody has to water their lawns, for instance, mm-hmm. if it's raining.
Right.
So you do save a lot of water that way, too, if it rains in Southern California.
Because everyone rushes out and turns off their sprinklers when it rains.
That's
true. Oh, wait a minute.
Or
most people just
leave
most people just say whatever.
Double water today.
Is Dave bragging about not using his windshield wipers again? Is that?
I never use windshield wipers.
It's so weird. It's
ridiculous. Don't need it. It's little rains.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's one of those things I don't understand, even a little bit.
He purposely chooses not to turn them on.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't.
Why wouldn't you if you had them?
Right.
Even if you thought, if you had some religious problem with them. And apparently he's got some sort of conviction that it won't allow him to enjoy using wipers. Wouldn't you just turn them on anyway? Because there they are. There's a button right there.
Sure.
Right. Make things a little bit easier.
They're free. Most of us believe they help. It's easier to see.
Well,
it's not
don't need them.
Okay. Okay. 5:57 Friday morning. Time for a first look at the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
Well, it's all about collectibles. You know that. You know, Kevin, as a longtime watcher of Antique Roadshow.
Oh, I love Antique Roadshow.
And man,
oh man,
Pawn Stars. I know you're a big fan of all those shows. It's all about the collectibles. And they just found a goatskin bound copy of William Shakespeare's first folio at a home on the Scottish island of Bute. This is the first edition of his plays, published in 1623. There's only about 230 copies in the world.
And how much does something like that go for?
They're expecting it. A previously owned copy sold in 2003 for $5 million.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
So they're saying there's no idea how much this could go for. Meanwhile, the chair that J.K. Rowling wrote the first two Harry Potter books in just sold for $400,000.
What?
The chair she wrote the books in. And by the way, is there some ass DNA? Can I run it down to the lab? How do I know for sure this is the chair she wrote the books in?
That was my question.
She says it is, but, you know, I would have a warehouse full of chairs, you know?
Maybe
another one. Yep. Oh, yeah, I wrote this. I wrote book three on this one. And you put a little stank on it and then just ship it off. Right?
Right.
How much money can you make selling chairs?
Plus, if you buy that and then you have that chair in your house, you just, to everybody, you go, hey, you know what?
You have, there's a story. That is not a self-describing collectible.
Right.
It's not well, like, she,
you know
she,
who sat
she,
there?
She signed it all up and everything and wrote all over it. Harry Potter
well,
stuff.
Well, she ruined the chair then.
Well, I mean, I think she did that to make it perhaps more valuable.
Bean bought it.
Yeah, really. Dumb. It's dumb. I can see owning, like, the plays of Shakespeare or something like that, but that chair that somebody sat in or that did something cool.
Right. If it's the handwritten pages for the book, now you got
that's
something.
That's a collectible.
Right.
If it's her original wand sleeve or something.
But you can't sit on the wand sleeve.
Well, you can.
You can, actually. Yeah. If you sit on my wand sleeve. I have no idea.
I don't think you have a wand sleeve. I think she has
that's
that.
That's right. She's got a wizard sleeve.
That's it.
Today's celebrity birthdays, John Schneider. He was a Duke.
Yes, he was.
And more importantly, he was Pa Kent on Smallville. 56
that's right.
years old today. Robin Wright is 50 years old. Patricia Arquette, 48. Katie Sackhoff. I still mourn the loss of Battlestar Galactica. That was a great damn
that was
show.
So good.
36 years old.
Tis.
Biz.
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 Biz. He's 50. Hit that button anytime, Chip, and stop this nonsense.
Oh, baby, you got what I need. Would you say he's just a friend? Would you say he's just a friend? Oh, baby, you
timing.
Got what I need. Would you say he's just a friend? Would you say he's just a friend?
By the way, Beaton, Steve pushes the buttons, so I don't know
you're
saying to Chip.
Yeah. Sorry.
We chip out of this.
Saw Chip hovering over there. Sorry.
Viz Marquee just joined up with an impressive list of R&B and soul and hip-hop acts out of the 90s, and they're doing a tour called I Love the 90s. And it's like Salt and Pepper and a cool Moe Dee and Rob Bass and a bunch of cool old-school R&B.
Allie, you have to go to that.
I'm in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Biz Markie. And I thought to myself, he comes out, he does that song.
Yeah.
And then what happens? Then the stage turns, right?
I hope. I hope the stage just keeps turning. That's probably enough time for
I love Biz, don't get me wrong.
A 2.5 minute song.
But if you're going to one of those sort of, you know, multiple act retro, you know, all hits memory shows.
Right. I think he had a couple of other songs that maybe weren't big pop hits, like Vapors. I think that was one of his, wasn't that one of his songs, Allie? Vapors?
Well, I think this is the problem.
Yeah.
I think that's what I'm saying. You're trying to think of song two of the second one.
Bear down, maybe you could push out a second song.
Yeah, but not much
beyond that. But I'm saying, but it's
that's true.
It's not the one that's going to go, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
I saw
that hit after hit after hit.
You saw Biz Markie?
With Yo Gabba Gabba.
That's where I saw him, too. Yeah. His pants were falling down. He was loaded.
The whole time.
Oh, he's hammered. Hammered, just pants down. I kept covering my daughter's eyes, saying, she's going to see Biz Wang at some point. There's going to be Biz Wang. Which, that was my first radio name back in the day when I started.
Biz Wang? I like Biz Wang, it.
Yeah. That's alleged.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Actress Melissa McCarthy at 7 a.m. Pee-wee himself, Paul Rubens, at 8 a.m. And the L.A. Kings, Good Luck Charm, singing the national anthem. Our friend Pia Toscana at 9 a.m. So it's a huge Kevin Beat show. stand down, Pee-wee. Ralph is here. It's time for the movie beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's movie beat. Welcome to my world.
There are some depressing-ass movies coming out this weekend.
Okay.
So go out in the rain and see one of these depressing-ass movies and then just draw a warm bath and just open them up. Because it's all overtime.
I don't think that's our advice.
Well, then don't see these movies.
Okay.
Man, some bummers. But also some fun, good time films as well. So see what sings to you this weekend as we look at the new movies opening up in Southland Cineplexes everywhere. Like Louder Than Bombs. This is one of those ones I was talking about. It's depressing.
Okay.
Family drama about a woman who is a famed war photographer who dies. And the effect that has on her family, her husband, father of her two sons. Gabriel Byrne plays the husband. Jesse Eisenberg is one of the two sons. Isabel Huppert also in this film. It's one of these families being torn apart by the death of the mother. And just looks really rough. Here are some scenes from the trailer of Louder Than Bombs.
He's not doing that well. I don't think you should tell him.
You think he deserves to know the truth?
The truth?
What is the truth? There's no story in a car accident. So people have to make one up.
Family, they love you. You can feel it. And you love them too.
You are all going to die tonight.
No, it's not a horror story, Kevin.
Lex Luthor has a soft side.
He does. He's soft. Demolition's another movie. It's a downer. Jake Gyllenhaal plays a man who loses his wife in a car crash. And he is so numbed by the experience that he has to express himself by taking things apart.
Okay.
Like the bathroom stall at work. They frown on that when they find the stall just lying there on the floor in the bathroom.
Not big fans?
Not big fans. Mm. And he starts complaining to a vending machine company with a series of strongly worded letters.
Oh.
Mm. Yeah. Until that catches the attention of a young lady working there, played by Naomi Watts, and she reaches out to him, and they start a relationship. And they both learn how to love and live again.
Nope.
Come on, Kevin. Demolition.
He does destroy a lot of stuff, Kevin. That's kind of right up your alley.
There's sledgehammers,
okay,
Kevin.
I like that. You know I like that.
I know you do. Here's some clips from the trailer.
Dear Champion Vending Company, I put 5 quarters in your machine and proceeded to push B2, which should have given me peanut M&Ms. Regrettably, it did not. I found this upsetting as I was very hungry, and also my wife had died 10 minutes earlier. I'm not saying that was your fault.
I just want to be thorough.
Do you usually make service calls at 2 a.m?
You miss her?
I'm trying to.
What are we doing again?
We're taking apart my marriage.
Yeah! Come on!
I have mad respect for his strongly worded letter game.
I know you do. Yeah. Mr. Wright. Things start to lighten up with Mr. Wright opening up this weekend. First of all, let me tell you, just two words will make me go see any movie. Those two words are Sam and Rockwell.
Yeah.
Sam Rockwell stars in this film. Anna Kendrick also stars in this film, going a limited release this weekend, called Mr. Wright. Anna Kendrick falls for the perfect guy that she meets, played by Sam Rockwell. Well, maybe he has one flaw. He's a hitman on the run from the crime families who employ him.
Okay.
And that tends to complicate things a little bit in this wacky romantic comedy. Tim Roth is also in this film. Here are some clips from the trailer of Mr. Wright.
Hey, did you have to finish a book on tape?
No, sorry. I had to kill somebody in the parking lot.
Yeah, into it.
He's formerly one of the world's most notorious professional killers.
He quit?
No, he developed a moral code.
He said he killed a guy in the parking lot. I thought he was joking.
You can still try to hire him, but now he kills him.
He kills the people who hire him.
Yeah.
Is this guy dead?
Just unconscious.
This whole reverse hitman thing is like...
It's weird. I know.
Yeah, I think I'm in love with them. Is that stupid? Yes. Hard yes.
Hard yes. Mr. Wright, limited release. Hardcore Henry opens up this weekend. This is the first-person action film. The entire film is seen through the eyes of Henry, who's resurrected from death with no memory of his wife or his former life, but he has got to fight the bioengineer soldiers that are coming after him to take the technology that brought him back to life. None of that will matter. It's just you looking through a GoPro trying to hold down your vomit as Henry runs through a series of adventures. Here's some clips from the trailer of Hardcore Henry.
You and I were, we still are, husband and wife. I love you, Henry.
Henry, they want your technology.
How do I like the new?
It's all right. I'm here to help you. Okay, well, the good news is that you're going to live a while. And the bad news is there's an army standing between you and your wife. So let's go get her.
Let's go get her. And then jiggle, jiggle, jiggle. And lastly, The Boss. Melissa McCarthy stars Kristen Bell, Peter Dinklage.
Yay!
Melissa McCarthy plays a female titan of industry, much like Martha Stewart, let's say, who gets put inside for insider trading. And when she comes out, she has to rebrand herself, get her money back, and she does so through selling cookies. A la the Girl Scouts, for a funny premise. Ben Falcone's the director, who happens to be the husband of Melissa McCarthy. Here's some clips from the trailer of The Boss.
What is all this?
This is my way back. We are going to start a brownie empire.
And get in there, go for the aggressive girls.
I feel kind of sweaty and scared.
It's just the coffee kicking in. Oh, you know what? Oh, I may have switched them. I put a little splash of bourbon in mine.
My name is Michelle Darnell, and this is my partner. And I don't mean partner, like girl-on-girl stuff.
What's girl-on-girl stuff?
Something you're going to dabble with in college, but not stick with,
Don't tell her.
Unless you're Hannah. I think it's going to fit you like a glove.
Crystal, what do we say if somebody doesn't want to buy?
Buy my brownies, or I'll kill you.
That looks so
right?
funny. Looks so funny.
It looks funny. She's terrific. Melissa McCarthy's great. So those are your choices for the weekend. Stay away from the sadder ones. It's going to be a rainy weekend. Wait for the sunshine. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman.
Ralph Garman.
Movie beat.
Ralph came in a few days ago with a story about Academy Award-winning actress Gwyneth Paltrow, who, by the way, I'm a huge fan of. I think she's a terrific actress.
Right.
But she's also a little bit of a nut job. She definitely seems to have too much time and too much money because she's always trying crazy things. And she did an interview recently with the New York Times where, you know, she runs that Goop website where she advises people on doing things like steam cleaning your vagina and things like that. A lot of stuff that maybe is medically suspect. She's talking about in this interview about doing a sound bath, for instance.
A sound bath?
Yes.
Which is...
Not sure.
Okay.
Sounds like the type of thing where you feel, my guess is, just based on the name, that maybe you get clean by sound?
Like the vibrations of the sound?
Vibrations,
like
yeah.
Like it cleans your aura?
Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. In fact, we've got her on the phone. We'll ask her about that.
Oh.
She also, in this interview, and this made a lot of headlines, talked about getting stung by bees on purpose. Huh. And I'm not sure what you would use that for, but apparently it is supposed to be soothing to people. And it's been around for thousands of years. And again, there's no medical background on this, but she is all about them bees. And Gwyneth Paltrow joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now.
Ow,
hey, Gwyneth.
Ow.
You okay?
Ow.
Gwyneth?
1 second. Ow. Hold on. Okay, I'm done.
Wow.
Hi, guys. How are you?
We're good. Was that some of your bee therapy right there?
Yes. I was going through apitherapy,
mm-hmm.
and it's great because it relieves scarring and inflammation. I feel so much better now that I'm covered with bee stings.
Why is that better? That seems like it would be painful, and I don't see what the positive effect of putting poison in your body is.
No, the bee's venom soothes the body, and it removes inflammation and scarring. And it helps you stay young forever. It's awesome.
Of course,
I am covered now with unsightly welts. But I believe they'll go away. That's what they tell me.
I know that this has been around for thousands of years, but there's zero scientific background for this. You don't care about that?
Listen, let me tell you something. Science and beauty are very different.
Okay.
And sometimes what so-called science doesn't find any truth in, you can actually use to fool people.
To fool people.
So you're probably charging a lot of money to sell bees to people, I would imagine? Is this all a big racket?
It's only 15 cents a bee.
And how many bees do you need?
A million.
Oh.
See, that adds up.
But I have lots of therapies that science necessarily doesn't find any redeeming value in, but it works for me and it can work for you too.
Now, you look great,
but I
suspect that has more to do with just great genes and being wealthy enough to afford the best of everything. I don't think that what you're pushing is going to help the average person.
No, I beg to differ. I would look awful. I would look like Tan Mom.
Wow.
If I didn't keep up with my regular regimens. And sometimes you have to think outside the box. That's all.
Okay.
What is that?
What's that? Time for my cow
therapy.
Cow therapy?
Cow therapy.
Yes. How
does that work?
Well, it's also called manure therapy. Do you need more of an explanation?
Oh,
wow.
Where are you? What does that do for you?
Oh, it makes you makes your skin tighter.
Right.
Okay.
And more luminescent.
Okay. Sure.
You're shinier.
Okay.
So you just rub it all over your skin?
Yes.
Okay.
And in your hair.
Oh.
Okay.
But you need it fresh from the cow. That's why I have a cow.
I see.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh. It's time for my cry therapy.
Your cry therapy?
Yes, where I just douse myself in baby tears.
And what does that do?
It detoxifies.
Uh-huh.
And also amplifies your chakras,
right,
which will allow you to absorb more nutrients from the auras.
I don't think that.
I feel like you just made that up.
Oh.
What is that, Gwyneth?
That's Godzilla.
What?
Why? And what does that do for you?
It helps me feed off of fear of Asians. When they get scared, I absorb their energy, and it keeps me young. Oh.
What's that?
Time for my whale therapy.
A whale? You have a whale?
Yes. I get swallowed by a whale, and then I build a fire inside and make the whale sneeze, and I escape.
And what does that do for you?
I have no idea. I saw it in Pinocchio. It looked pretty cool.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52.
Melissa McCarthy, co-writer and star of The Boss, joins us coming up right after the top of the hour. Ralph Garman is here now. Time for another look at the showbiz beat on a Friday. What's going on?
Well, keep a good thought, a moment of silence, if you will, perhaps, for Indonesian pop star Irma Bule.
Oh, she's good.
Yeah, Irma Bule.
What happened to Irma?
Well, of course, as you know, she is famous for working with live snakes during her stage show.
Mm.
Irma was on stage in concert on Sunday night when she happened to step on the tail of a king cobra that she was working with.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the king cobra bit Irma on the thigh. She wanted to press on, so she continued to perform for about 45 minutes before she finally collapsed on stage, vomited, had seizures,
Holy crap.
Then passed away.
She died.
Yeah.
Well, that was a miscalculation.
It sure was.
Did they get a refund?
The audience?
Yeah.
Kidding me? If you're going to see one Irma Boulle show, that's the one to see, right?
45 minutes in, though.
But that's a story you can tell the rest of your Irma Boulle fans forever.
That's insane.
I bet she'd already done most of her hits by then, 45 minutes in, I would think.
Probably. She probably hit all the biggies. Here, this brings my mind two questions. Why do you need to perform with live poisonous snakes on stage in a concert?
I don't know.
The second question, how do we get Taylor Swift to work with live poisonous snakes on concert?
How awesome
would that be if a king cobra, with her body weight, it would take her like 30 seconds to go. If it took Irma 45 minutes, she would bite, it would be all over.
I don't think we need her to die. And although Gwyneth would probably tell you it's good for you to get bit by a rattlesnake.
Then I need tickets to that show. And I'd be like, Charbroiled! In the front row, just sick burn. That O.J. Simpson series was so wildly successful that now lots of networks are getting in the business of doing dramatizations of real-life crime dramas. I told you already they're working on a new series for the Menendez brother trial, right?
Is that the same group or is it a different company?
Different network. Now CBS is throwing their hat into the ring, doing a limited series on the JonBenet Ramsey case.
The applause.
Those beans are twisted ever.
I think the kids like this sort of programming.
No, they don't. The kids don't like this, considering, if you remember correctly.
If you don't remember the story.
JonBenet was a six-year-old little girl who had been hit on the head and strangled in the basement of her home on Christmas Eve some 20 years ago. And look, I understand it. I understand that the true life drama dramatized apparently now is big business. But is there a line that you draw where you say maybe that? There's other cases you can draw from.
Thousands of
grown-up people dying and stuff, which is bad enough. But when you start to dip your oar in the sordid waters of child murder, I think maybe you've gone too far.
According to the internet, though, she did not die that day. She grew up, changed her name, and became Katy Perry.
Oh, I didn't know that.
A happy ending then.
Well, it's a happy ending. Well, now I'm on board.
It's good news.
That has been the rumor, yes.
And speaking of being a pop star, this story made my head explode. Sir Ben Kingsley was almost a rock star.
What?
You heard me. Ben Kingsley, pop star.
What?
Apparently he was doing a stage show in London called A Smashing Day where he played and sang all of his own songs. And it was produced and directed by a guy named Brian Epstein, who you may remember was the Beatles manager. And John Lennon and Ringo Starr came to see the show, and they went backstage and met Ben Kingsley, and they hooked him up with a music mogul named Dick James, who was going to mold him into a pop star and make him the next big thing.
Wow.
And Ben said at that moment he decided that's not the life he wanted, and he went into the Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts and started doing Shakespeare.
He's done pretty well. So he could have been successful and famous and rich. Instead, he chose this life.
Right. Oh, wait a minute. He's all those things. But how weird.
That is weird.
If John Lennon and Ringo Starr come back to you and say, you should be a pop star, and you go, no, I'm going to go do Shakespeare.
And we've got all the hookups.
Right.
We'll just,
it's push button. It's just turnkey.
No, thanks.
Boom. No, he passed.
That's so weird.
Asshole. Right? Who's with me? Ben Kingsley seems the worst. Right?
It's weird to even think about him singing. Like, that would be just weird to even watch, right? Because now we know him as, Ben Kingsley. Sir Ben Kingsley.
We all have secret lives. Like Kevin's time as a masseur. Remember that, when he was a masseur? Doing all those rubdowns?
Sure.
Yeah. On that island?
Sure. The island of masseurs.
And you didn't even have to pay him, by the way. He said he just did it for his pleasure.
He kept touching strangers who were clothed. It was odd. Today's celebrity birthdays: John Schneider's 56, Biz Marquis 52, Robin Wright, the lovely and talented, is 50, Patricia Arquette 48, Katie Sackhoff's 36 years old, and Taylor Kitsch celebrates his 35th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Well, 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:03. You seem surprised that that song was ending.
It ended pretty quickly.
His actual words, wow, that is really over.
We need some kind of a clock in here.
That's what you need. Some sort of something that like counts down the seconds so you can tell when you get to the end.
Why can't we have that?
All right. Before we get Miss Melissa McCarthy on the phone, which we're all very excited about, Ali, I think you're even having more trouble with this than we are right now. I mean, we're all excited to talk to her, but it seems like this is a big deal for you.
You know how I never want to meet Conan O'Brien?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. She's my female Conan.
Okay.
Like, she's my hero. I love her so much. She's brilliant. I love everything she's been in. I love The Spy. I love The Heat. I love Bridemaids. I love everything.
Well, that's great. You can do the whole interview.
I don't want to. I don't even want to talk to her. I'm just going to listen to her and, oh, I love her.
But by all accounts, she's the nicest lady in the world.
And so is Conan.
Right, nicest lady in the world?
No.
Well, that's weird. If you were on the phone with her, I think you guys would have a nice chat.
Okay.
I think it would be fun for you.
Should you just one question, just be ready with one question.
Okay. You guys, it's a lot for me.
Okay.
And she's worked with Paul Feig so much, and he couldn't say nicer things about her.
Yep.
And I love her so much.
Okay. Well, we're getting her on the phone here in 1 second. By the way, Paul Rubens in 1 hour, Pee Wee Herman himself is going to be joining us on the Kevin DeBean Show. Comedian Jay Moore will be here in the 8 o'clock hour. And at 9 o'clock, the lovely Pia Toscano makes a return to the Kevin DeBean Show, who I know, Kevin, you're excited about because she's your Los Angeles Kings good luck charm.
Yes, she is.
It's the almost too much show.
She also released some new songs last night. All right, we have 7 minutes with Melissa McCarthy, who, by the way, this week Rolling Stone magazine said she's a national treasure up there with Lucille Ball. That's ridiculous, right, Melissa? Nobody should say that.
Nobody should say that. I don't think my mom and dad say that.
Oh.
And they're kind of...
they're kind of partial bias.
No, I did not hear that. Is that true? Or are you like...
Yes.
Is it true?
Yes. They said it's in the Rolling Stone article about your new film, which is everywhere in theaters today, called The Boss. Welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show. It's a thrill to finally have you on after all these years. How are you this morning?
So good. Thanks for having me on.
We were just talking before you got on the phone that your name... means we're going to go see that movie. And there are very few people like that.
Oh, my God. I hope so. That's the goal. I certainly love the thought of... I mean, you worked so many years on something. It's kind of like having another baby. Like, you just want people to like it. And you want people to be like, oh, yeah, we get her. We understand that character. I think there's a lot of stuff floating in the world that I love the thought of people being able to go to a movie for an hour and a half, laugh themselves silly, and kind of forget their troubles. Like, that to me is pretty dreamy.
You bring up this character that you play in the film, Michelle Darnell, and this is a character by now a lot of people know that you came up with many, many years ago when you were doing The Groundlings. What is it about her that you hung on to all these years that made you go, finally, now I can make this movie, I'm going to?
You know, it's a funny thing. It's one of the very few characters that I couldn't, like almost sociopathically couldn't stop talking about. I mean, 2 years out, I was like, you know, I wonder if Michelle and Ben would say, like, which Michelle? Like, who are you talking to? Thinking we're talking about one of our friends.
Michelle. Right.
I'm like, Michelle Darnell.
Like, did he think you were...
4 minute sketch 3 years ago. Like, it's a little creepy. And then 5 years out, 10 years out, we were in the middle of dinner, and I'm like, you know, Michelle is an orphan.
At any
now
point.
He's like, oh my God, Michelle. Like, he's thinking the specific Michelle. And I'm like, no, Michelle Darnell. He goes, oh, honey, we gotta get a place for you to get this out.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. At any point did Ben finally say, hey, you know what? Stop talking about that character, or let's make a movie.
Like, 6 months out from a scene, it was like one sketch of Groundlings, but she just grabbed me. I kicked in the door to, like, Welcome to the Jungle. I mean, there was something so fun about playing somebody that kind of, she was such a tidal wave of a character, and it was so fun to do and so fun to play that energy that I don't know. It's like sometimes I have a blast doing them, and like, that's it, they're done. And there was something about Michelle Darnell that I was like, she's not quite out of there yet. She's still floating around in my brain. So
I know that your character, long preceded what happened with Martha Stewart. But when the trailer started coming out, all I could think is, what's Martha Stewart going to feel like when she sees this trailer? And I wondered if you heard anything from her about the similarities between what your character goes through and what she went through.
I did not. And we, the storyline, it's funny. We did a rough, Steve Mallory and Ben, my husband, we all wrote the movie together. And Steve Mallory's a friend from Groundlings. He also plays Carl in the movie, who I kind of eviscerate his deceased wife, as you do.
As you do, sure.
You know what? It makes sense when you see it. It sounds horrible when I say it now. But we did an outline for this movie about 7 or 8 years ago, and that was already in it. that was a feature that she would go to jail and do all of this stuff. When it first came up, like, Leona Helmsley was kind of in my head.
Oh, right. And I forgot about her. Yeah.
That was really the person that kind of kicked off the whole thing. And then I started weirdly looking up female CEOs, and I went down this whole wormhole about that. But that's really kind of where it all started. It was more Leona.
Now people are saying it's weirdly reminiscent of Donald Trump. Which, of course,
I know that's what everybody's like. Is this? You know, is it an homage to him? Are you making fun of him? I was like, no. 16 years ago, he was not even in my head.
We are talking to Melissa McCarthy here on the Kevin and Bean Show. The film is in theaters everywhere. It is called The Boss. Great cast, by the way. Kristen Bell, Peter Dinklage, Kathy Bates, Cicely Strong, Kristen Schaal, Timothy Simons, all people we love. Allie McKay, you've been strangely quiet while we've been on with your personal hero, Melissa McCarthy. What's going on in your head right now?
She's my favorite, and I don't even want to mess it up.
Oh, my God.
Melissa. It's so sad, Melissa. It's so true.
Melissa,
there's
Allie's
nothing I hate more than silence, click.
She's literally scared to talk to you because she loves you so much.
Oh, my gosh. That's crazy. Get away.
It's pretty normal. I used to watch you at Groundlings, which is my favorite place to go. My favorite. It's some of the best, funniest, most amazing comics and improvers and actors come out of there. So to see you, as well as so many people that you finish the Groundlings with, alumni, do so well, it's just... It warms my heart, and now I'm going to stop talking because I'm really nervous.
Love that place, and it has such a sweet spot in me. I mean, it will forever be a part of mine and Ben's life. We go back there. We love it. There's a weird thing that 16 years ago, I did this scene, and there were three people that kind of rotated in and out. There was like a CEO that introduced me, and the three people that did it are three people. All three of them are in the movie.
That's nice. And it's that's cool.
Ben would rotate in, my lovely husband and my director.
Sure.
Damon Jones, who plays the waiter in the movie, and Larry Dorff, who plays the security guard. And we were sitting there at the premiere, and we're like, did any of us, as we were changing behind like a thin, shabby curtain into our next costume, think that like 16 years later we'd still be having any attachment at all to the character? It was kind of wild. It made it a little surreal. It made it really special.
Well, you've come full circle, and it's a movie we've been seeing the trailers for a while, and you're so excited. It's finally in theaters everywhere. Kids, go see The Boss. It's out now. Melissa McCarthy, a real pleasure to have you on the show. Continued success. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Bye, guys.
We didn't have time yesterday, but today we do for you and your phone calls on the Kevin and Bean Show. If you want to call us right now on any topic, it's Kevin and Bean's What's Good, which is going to be up next at 1-800-520-1067. That's our number. You can call on any topic. Kevin, I'm sure you'll be hearing from some hockey fans, for instance.
Well, I feel like K-Rock's Chip should be hearing from some fans,
that's
for
true.
Example.
Maybe you were involved somehow in that insane chase yesterday that happened all over Southern California. Maybe you're the TMZ bus driver. We want to hear from you. So anything that's on your mind, if you've got comments, you've got questions, you've got complaints, 1-800-520-1067. That's our number. Pick up the phone right now and be on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take your calls for What's Good coming up next.
Time for the Afro Line. You can call on any topic 24 hours a day, including a good impression of Omar.
Omar!
All right. I don't think I was here when this happened because I would have puked immediately.
Did I hear Bean sex tape? No!
Allie, what was that about? I don't recall a Bean sex tape either.
I obviously blacked it out, which everybody
we all did.
Yeah, Bean. This is your microphone. I was just calling to see if you could stop breathing into me. That would be great. Thanks.
Look.
Who knew Bean's mic would call?
That's so weird. I can either breathe or I cannot breathe.
Oh, really? That's an option?
Those are my choices.
We all breathe as well, just not...
Don't breathe!
You may not have had your nose broken as many times as I have. But
have
thank
you seen
for the...
this nose?
We were talking about the fact that Bean eats pizza with a knife and a fork.
It's the worst.
That's a thing.
Hey, it's me. Does Bean eat hamburgers
with a knife and fork, or ribs, or burritos, or sandwiches, douchebag.
I pretty much eat everything with a knife and fork. Pretty much. It's just, I like to stay tidy.
What about a peanut butter and jelly?
I don't know. I haven't had one of those in a long time. I might eat that because there's no danger of stuff like falling out. See, the problem with in my case, a turkey burger is, you know, they get big and a bunch of stuff can fall out. You know, pickles can fall out and lettuce can fall out, things like that.
So hell breaks loose.
That does sound dangerous.
It's just a disaster of biblical proportions.
You use a knife and fork to keep that locked down. But a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, I feel like that's not going anywhere. I think I would risk eating that with my hands.
Wow.
I do.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. I'd wear a bib just to make sure I didn't get anything on me. But yeah, I'd be fine with that.
Here's an impression of what this show sounds like to this listener.
I have a wrist watch. I named Watchy. What is a watch wrist watch?
Okay. Good reference to Stoppy. People like Ralph's catchphrase.
Hey, guys. Just calling to thank Ralph Garman, because now anytime I want to annoy my girlfriend, all I got to do is yell out, "Charles!"
It really is good.
I think it's catching on. I really do.
This guy's not as happy with some of the Kevin and Bean show.
Hey, remember when you guys did the topic of how people look like other celebrities over the phone? That was so entertaining. Hey, I look like so-and-so. Do you? Yeah, I really do, idiot.
Thank you. We'll accept that as a compliment.
I got to be honest. When you hear it like that, it sounds stupid. It sounds really dumb. That guy's right.
What happened to the spoiler alert? Taking O.J. Simpson walk. I didn't see the last thing. I have a DVR'd, asshole.
Oh, sorry. Our bad. Sorry.
I love you, Pennsylvania. This Philly is my John. We don't know many words. That's why everything means John.
What a beautiful, beautiful song and sentiment. That's very nice. I was not here for this. I would have voted aggressively against this.
I already know what it is.
I may not have even been in the studio had this happen, but it did.
No! No, no, no. No more pimple pop. Oh, stop talking about pimples. Oh, and popping them. La, 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 la. Not listening. La, 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 la. No, stop it.
I'm with her.
We had Dr. Pimple Popper on, Dr. Sandra Lee.
It's a terrible choice.
The worst.
We found out, Kevin, that there are so many of our listeners who spend their time on her YouTube channel and watching people get blackheads taken out,
sure,
and popping pimples and removing cysts and light bulbs. I mean, it's crazy how many people called in on that.
Still no.
Yep.
Okay.
Still a no.
This punchline is William Shatner's acting. The joke is William Shatner's acting.
I have to give that listener commitment to character.
You know, Bill Shatner was always copying Leonard Nimoy. Lenny Nimoy came out with a record. Then Bill Shatner came out with a record. Lenny Nimoy directed a Star Trek movie. Then Bill Shatner directed a Star Trek movie. Leonard Nimoy died. Balls in your court, Bill.
No.
He's kind of my favorite.
He's so funny. This is one of the comedians that was in the top 10 for the April Foolishness opening act.
Uh-oh.
And he's just calling in. No, it's fine.
Hey, this is Ryan D., one of the top 10 April Foolishness contestants. I just want to say thank you guys for the opportunity. I'm very grateful, and I'm glad my clip got played on the air. But since I didn't win, I was just wondering if you guys could play the Beans a Dick song, just so I could feel like a winner.
Oh, come on. That's nice.
Beans a dick, dick, dick. What a dick, dick, dick. Beans a dick, dick, dick. What a giant dick.
That's
a dick, 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 dick
We got the point.
It's a dick.
Understood. We gotta move on.
Dick.
We're done.
Dick. Bean is a dick. Bean is a giant dick.
Your call is for what's good. Coming up next.
Bean is a dick. 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 Bean's a dick.
Your calls are next.
1-800-520-1067. That's the number. Hey, it's time for What's Good.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify. What are we missing and not talking about? Call up, so we could be down. 1-800-520-1067. What's good?
What's good?
I have a lot of confidence in the Kevin and Bean listeners. They have ideas and things that are better to talk about than anything we've got to talk about. For instance, Ryan on line 5 to get us going here in Orange on Kevin and Bean's What's Good. Ryan, welcome to the program, sir.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, Allie.
Hey, Ryan.
What's good?
Hey, so I saw this thing online the other day that just blew my mind that apparently, like, 65% of people sit down when they wipe, and that just blew me away. Couldn't believe it.
Are we talking butts here? Is that the topic you're calling about, Ryan?
We are.
Huh.
And I can't get my brain around the mechanics behind it.
I'm with you now that I stop and think about it.
I've never thought about it until right now.
Yeah, it seems like sitting down would make it difficult. It doesn't seem like that's an ideal angle to accomplish said task.
Right.
Kevin?
I don't know. I don't know.
What
I
do you do? That. Do you sit?
I run around the house.
Kevin believes in air drying.
I run around the house. It's on!
But, Ryan, 65% said sit?
Yeah, frankly, this is dividing the nation.
It is.
I don't know. I'm not going to say I don't know anyone who sits. I've never taken a poll, but that doesn't make sense. Why would you remain seated?
Yeah, I wish I had not been made aware of this survey because now I'm deeply disturbed by it. But thank you, Ryan. We appreciate the call. 1-800-520-1067. Let's go to Jay in Long Beach, please. He's up next. He's on line 4 on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Jay.
Yo.
What's good?
Well, first things first, Bean is a dick.
Okay.
That was awesome to hear that song.
Excellent.
Second of all, you guys haven't done Beat Beer Mug in a while.
We haven't done Beat Beer Mug in a while. That's true.
So that would make my Friday awesome.
Okay, well.
You're demanding it today?
It might not be today, sure. But you know what? We will move that back into rotation and try to get that on for you the next couple weeks. How about
it? One more thing.
Yes.
Can you at least do the drop Fire Beer Mug?
All right. Now we're getting requests for drops.
Okay, hold.
Fire Beer Mug!
There you go.
Fire Beer Mug!
There you go.
Thank you for calling, Jay. Thank you, Jay.
Fire beer mug.
Got it.
Fire beer mug.
All right, let's go to Jason, line 1, Anaheim, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. This could be a Ducks fan. Let's find out.
Hey, Jason.
Hey, guys. Hey, Allie.
Hey, Jason.
What's up?
Hey. So I'm calling because April is National Autism Awareness Month.
Okay.
And I just wanted to bring that to your guys' attention and the listeners as well.
Okay. What are we supposed to do with that information, Jason?
Well, just bringing knowledge to people that now 1 in 68 kids have autism or fall on the autism spectrum.
Right. And that's why you shouldn't vaccinate your children, right? That's my understanding.
I don't think that's what he's saying.
I heard that from Dr. Jenny McCarthy, right. By the way. She couldn't say it on television if she weren't a doctor and didn't know.
Jason, are you a parent of a child with autism?
Yes, my son has autism.
Okay.
May I recommend a great event that's happening later this month on the 23rd, First Point in Malibu? It's a charity called A Walk on Water, and they do surf therapy with children with disabilities, but a lot of the kids are autistic, and they find this connection with surfing, And it's one of the most beautiful things you will ever see, to see these kids that may not have reacted ever. Really, you genuinely see a change with them. And it happens with horse therapy, with all different things. But this bees. One is called, not bees, okay. No. This one is called A Walk on Water. So if you want to look that up, check it out. It's happening later on this month in Malibu.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
It's funny that you bring that up, because I was actually going to bring up another event that's going on later in the month that kind of falls in the same.
And you just feel like you always
category.
Need to one-up a woman?
Oh, yeah, Jason. Exactly.
Go ahead, Jason.
That's what's going on here?
Go ahead, Jason.
So it's an organization called A-Skate, and it's like autism therapy with through skateboarding.
Awesome.
So it's in that same way. It's that motion that mm-hmm. they enjoy that fulfills their sensory needs, that they're able to kind of relax and just be able to enjoy themselves.
I got to tell you, I feel like autistic kids are having way more fun than the rest of us do, because they get to do all the cool stuff. They got horses and surfing and skateboarding. None of that stuff was around when I was growing up.
Oh,
absolutely.
Bean,
they
talking.
See the world in a much different, cooler way than we're able to see it. And if you're able to shut out all the things that kind of cause them to retract into themselves, then you definitely see that they're, like, extremely beautiful people, and especially the kids are super cool.
I think that's a great message to get out, Jason. I'm glad that you called. You sound like an awesome dad, and thanks for helping to spread the word, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
That's the perfect call for What's Good, by the way. Something that we weren't talking about, and that's great.
Yeah, thank you, Jason. Let's do one more. Let's make it Steven. He's in Irvine. He's on line 5 to take us out.
Hey, Steven.
So standing and wiping blew my mind.
Really?
What? Are you a wipe while you sit?
Yeah, Bean, you're 6'8". Savor the squat. Enjoy sitting.
Savor
down.
The squat.
I feel like I'm not coordinated enough to make all that work if I'm sitting
for the
or squatting.
Of us who, you know, aren't suffering from, you know, you. just sit down.
Sit down.
Stay seated.
Sit down.
It's like Disneyland. Remain seated, please. Permanece sentados, por favor. Stay seated.
All right. If there's one takeaway on today's Kevin DeBeach Show, thanks to Steven, it's savor the squat. This has been What's Good. What's Good?
6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:52.
Ralph, I thought you would be with me on the finale of American Idol last night, the series finale last night. Did you not spend any time with it?
Is that show still in the air?
I think you would have loved it last night.
Oh, stop it.
Why would you have loved it?
First of all, your Jennifer Lopez came out and sang that Not Your Mama song, which you would have loved. Mm-hmm. But all of your Catherine McPhee was on the show last night, and Jennifer Hudson, and Fantasia.
I've never seen any of those people. That would have been great to see them on television.
Right, but
it
was like a giant Throwback Thursday, though, to see all of your favorite Idol contestants throughout the years all performing again. Pia Toscano was there, for instance. You love Pia. She came out and did
great.
Her
Good
her
for
thing.
Them. I'm not going to waste my time on that.
I have a question. Bean, do you expect him to go back in time and watch it?
Yes.
I do. Okay. Here's what I expect. I expect him to go home today and go, you know what? I wasn't going to watch the American Idol, but Bean said how great it was. Maybe I'll check it out and I might enjoy it.
I don't see that happening.
Yeah, that's probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
Okay. Not in this universe.
Maybe
in the alternate Earth 2 universe.
You missed a hell of a show. The Pants on the Ground guy was there last night.
It was a giant.
Yeah,
oh,
we
let's
can't,
just
can't, right.
pay tribute to ourselves. Aren't we amazing? Nope.
But that's what you want at the end of any long-running series, though. You want to remember the great moments.
Yeah, I would do that if I gave a rat's ass over the past 6-7 years of that show,
yeah,
which I haven't.
Out for a while, right?
Yeah, so why would now I all of a sudden go back and care?
Because glory days. That's why. Because glory days. William Hung was there singing She Bangs Again.
I don't need to see that again.
Ever.
I saw a ton of it when it first happened. I've seen all these people all the time. I don't need to see any of them except Dunkelman. I wish I had seen Dunkelman.
Dunkelman was there. He did his thing.
Dunkelman returned, I heard. If they had promised me Dunkelman, then I would have tuned in, because you don't get a lot of Dunkelman these days.
That's true. By the way, Paula Abdul's still alive. She was on the show last night. Randy
Jackson
was still there.
She's a gift, and she should be treated as a present that you open up and then return because you have the receipt.
Right. Yeah. Simon Cowell was on the show last night. I'm just telling you, you missed a lot of fun.
Okay. Zero for style.
Right.
Zero for star quality. And you know what? I'm being generous.
Ruben Studdard still sweats
Stop telling me what was on that show.
It was a good show.
No, it wasn't. It was two hours of American Idol. You didn't see it. It was good.
Oh, I'm sorry. He's commenting on something that he hasn't seen. He's commenting on the quality.
I never watch Shades of Blue, but I'm sure it's awful.
Well, you missed out.
No, I didn't. I saved 2 hours of my life not watching American Idol people come out on stage.
7:55, we talked to Paul
Rubens. Don't pretend I'm done talking.
I thought you were done. I thought that was
it. Oh, no, you're done, so now the conversation is over. I'm not finished.
I feel like I've taken enough of your showbiz time. I want to throw it to you.
Too late for that.
Do your nonsense before we get Pee Wee on.
Damage has been done.
Okay. It's really good, though. You missed it. Kelly Pickler was singing.
Hey, Bean, can I give you some advice?
Chris Daughtry.
You could just say, you know what? American Idol last night was great.
It really was.
Boom! Ralph moves right into the
show. You enjoyed it. Why do I have to watch it? How does that affect your enjoyment of the show one way or the other?
Because it doesn't. I think you would have also enjoyed it. And as a friend and coworker, I'm trying to share this information with you in hopes that it might make you have a better week.
Divine friend.
And how long do you think you needed to share it?
Clay Aiken was on singing a John Denver song. You don't get that on any other show.
You are not helping your cause at all.
Kids, you're both just awful.
All right, thank you. All right, let me give away something to people who had to sit through Bean's dissertation on the last American Idol. Until Netflix revives it in 2 years and it's back on the air again. It's the K-Rock Craft Brew Fest tomorrow. Tomorrow in the infield at Santa Anita Racetrack. It's a great time. You got brews, you got ponies, you have music, you got peeps. Not the little marshmallow Easter egg candy, but people. This is going to be a great event. It happens 11 a.m. It starts. First race is at noon. By the way, it's free to get in. You can't beat that with a stick. And if you're one of the lucky winners at 1-800-520-1067, first four people through at that phone number will get a VIP pack of tickets for the K-Rock Craft Brew Fest. That means you get beer garden and concert admission. You get 8 drink tickets, so you're drinking on us. Then we give you $106 to play, to put down bets on the ponies, so you're betting on us. Then you got a racing program, a tip sheet, so you know what you're doing. You get a VIP access for backstage and the wagering areas. It's all just spectacular.
And then if you win, of course, it's a 50-50 split with us.
Right, yeah. We got to wet our beaks, right. You know. We got to give us a little taste because we're hooking you up, for God's sakes. Don't be greedy. You know, give the drummer some. But, yeah, it's going to be a great event. So check it out. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call to win those VIP 4-packs. Tonight, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame will induct its class of 2016, happening at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York. HBO will film everything, so you get to see it on April 30th. Don't worry, you're not missing out. Interesting batch this year, people being inducted. Like NWA, for example. They're going to be inducted by Kendrick Lamar. He's going to come out on stage and bring the boys up. They will not be performing, however. Ice Cube.
That's disappointing.
Ice Cube told the New York Times, "I guess we really didn't feel like we were supported enough to do the best show we could put on." Listen, NWA, they're putting you in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That's about as much support as you can ask from anyone.
What does that
mean? I don't know. He's all chapped-assed about something. He's probably still butthurt over "Are We There Yet?" I know I am. Steve Miller will be inducted by the Black Keys. That's an interesting pairing.
Yeah.
I had no idea those guys were so influenced by Steve Miller and his band.
Well, remember, before his pop years, he was very very much a blues artist, and
right.
Maybe that's what they were into back then.
Deep Purple will be brought out by Lars Ulrich of Metallica.
Nice.
Chicago, the band Chicago will be in. Put your hands down, Allie.
I love Chicago.
Oh, come on,
I will
it's Chicago.
Put my hands down.
I'm with the girl. I love Chicago,
it's
too.
Chicago.
They're fantastic.
Inducted by Rob Thomas. That'll teach you.
Wow.
That'll teach you to back Chicago. You get Rob Thomas.
Hear that part.
Chop Royals! You're watching Chicago, and then Rob Thomas comes out. Boom.
Oh,
you get what you deserve.
Come on.
And then Cheap Trick. There we go. Now there's somebody I can get behind. Cheap Trick.
What happened to Amy Winehouse?
She's not inducted this year, Rodney. Cheap Trick will be inducted by Kid Rock. Again,
okay.
Interesting pairing. But love me some Cheap Trick. So that's the
line. I like those shows when they play them on HBO. They're fun.
Great. All right. Great comment. Thank you, Bean.
Thanks.
Remember back when they used to do it in Cleveland, where the museum is? They used to actually do the ceremony in Cleveland, and then everybody said, we don't want to go to Cleveland. Let's do it back in New York.
Jennifer Lawrence is the best.
Yep.
And here's why. She was at an Adele concert and just was pounding cocktails. Just putting in work.
Right?
Just swallowing lots of fluid that involved alcohol.
Oh.
And she, as sometimes happens, you have a little too much fun, you got to pay the price, right?
Yeah.
Get a little sick. Maybe start a little vomit action there
at
the venue.
Oh no!
Oh no!
And maybe you're there with another celebrity, like so. All right, maybe you start throwing up in the shoes of Emma Stone. Maybe that happens. You know how that happens sometimes.
Oh no!
Now a lesser woman would maybe run or shy away, but not Emma Stone. No, Emma apparently, according to Jennifer, was nice enough to start rubbing her neck.
Holding her hair back.
Holding
That's
her
what
hair back.
Do.
And was there for her.
Pointing her mouth the other direction.
Jennifer, yeah, really. She wasn't holding her neck so much as she was aiming.
Aiming the vomit somewhere else.
Jen says she was mortified, as you can imagine. She admitted the situation was so gross, and she told Emma to get out of here. Oh, that's nice. It was like a war movie. Leave me behind! Get out of here!
Save yourself!
I'm going to fall in the grenade! But apparently a good time was had by all. So you can read all the details in Harper's Bazaar, the interview with Jennifer Lawrence. She seems like a good time.
She sure does. She's really enjoying her life.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Taylor Kitsch is 35 years old. Ezra Koenig from Vampire Weekend. He's the singer for that band. 32 years old. Katie Sackhoff. Oh, remember Starbuck?
So great.
Oh. She's also in Longmire. I know you guys don't watch the Longmire, but she's great on that, too. 36.
Oh, you got time for Longmire. Keep going.
Patricia Arquette is 48 years old. Robin Wright turns 50.
Hey, Ralph, let's all, for the rest of today's show, let's just act like Bean's not there.
Oh.
Let's just do the show.
I just got a little bit hard. You just said some magic words to me. Maybe the sexiest thing any man's ever said to me. Right now.
I just got really soft.
Yeah. John Schneider's 56 years old today. He was the Duke, you know, from the Hazard County.
Sure.
Yeah, him and his cousin, boy, they got up to some shenanigans. They were just good old boys.
Sure.
They were never meaning no harm. But yet, still. And Biz Markie, rapper Biz Markie, the Bizster.
Oh, baby, you got what I need. Would you say he?
Biz is 52, and he looks every bit of it. God bless you. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Allie, I was thinking about earlier in the show when you were reminiscing about your time going to see the Groundlings back in the day and how you fell in love with Melissa McCarthy. It really, when you start to get into a deep dive on what the Groundlings have done for show business
Unreal.
Over the years, when you think about your Kristen Wiig and you think about your Will Ferrell and your Lisa Kudrow and your Phil Hartman and all the greats that have come out of there, Kathy Griffin. It's just, it's unbelievable how productive that group has been. And one of the all-time greats is Paul Rubens. He is Pee-wee Herman himself, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Paul, how are you, man? Thanks for coming on the program.
Hey, my pleasure. Good morning.
You know, we were talking about the Groundlings. I was wondering if you guys have some sort of a secret society. You guys keep in touch and have meetings and passwords and blood oaths and stuff like that with all your Groundlings friends.
There's nothing official, but we actually do keep in touch, and I know quite a few of the Groundlings that have gone on to become famous and influential, and I'm still friends with all the people that I was in the Groundlings with originally.
That's awesome. And you knew, from what I understand from reading many histories of the creation of Pee-wee over the years, you kind of knew from the very beginning that this was the ticket, right?
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but I would say that it was definitely, I got a different reaction from being Pee-wee Herman than any of the other characters I had. So that was not lost on me. I definitely decided that this was the one to pursue.
Were you at any point bummed because you liked one of your other characters that just didn't seem to be getting any response?
No, the other characters all got really great responses. It just wasn't the kind of response that Pee-wee got. Pee-wee got just a...
a really different response that was hard to ignore.
You know, a lot of people over the years have tried to figure out what it is that has made Pee-wee so beloved, and I think it was Judd Apatow that I read that said that people loved him because he was kind of an oddball, yet he was also the hero, and he wasn't the traditional hero because it kind of gave the disenfranchised somebody that they could root for who was kind of like them. Does that make any sense?
I'll take that. Especially from Judd.
Have there been times throughout the years that you thought Pee-wee was dead, that he wouldn't come back?
No, not really. I always had a little glimmer of hope that Pee-wee would come back, and I always felt like it was just not the right time. And then a few years ago it was, but ironically it wasn't.
So, how have you not aged since 1985? What is happening? Yeah, can I have some?
I got to tell you, it's a little annoying.
It's troubling, really.
I have the portrait in the closet.
That's what it is. There you go.
All right.
I mean, Pee-wee doesn't age, right? The character looks exactly the same, and that is obviously by design. I mean, you have all the options in the world on how you want to make the story. You could have done an old Pee-wee if you wanted to, but for some reason you decided you want him to kind of remain frozen the way we remembered him, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, nowadays we have all kinds of tricks, Hollywood technology to make that happen. So, yeah, I don't look quite in real life like I look in that movie.
Plus, I don't think we want to see, you know, old Pee-wee like chain smoking with a bunch of kids.
I don't think anybody wants to see that.
I don't want to go through it either.
We're talking to Paul Reubens here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Pee-wee's Big Holiday debuted last month on Netflix, and it is super fun, and it is separate from everything else we've seen in the Pee-wee universe. And this is what you always do with your movies, Paul, which is you kind of start from scratch with what Pee-wee's life is like now, rather than continuing the story on from previous movies. How come you do it that way?
I just never really have had a good idea for a sequel, so it always seems more interesting to just start from scratch and see Pee-wee wake up in a completely different world and have a different job and a different place and a different set of friends and a different experience. So, you know, the sequel to Big Adventure was the bike gets stolen again, and I just couldn't figure out how to do something different.
Now, your best friend in the Pee-wee's Big Holiday is the very hunky Joe Manganiello.
Manganiello.
See, you've learned. You've learned. And I assume you guys met at the gym. That's how you became friends. But I was told that you were actually – it's not like you cast him to play this part in the role sight unseen. Like, you guys were already hanging out. Is that possible?
Yes. Yeah, we met about 6 years ago at a party and became fast friends and you know, our story is almost the story of the movie.
I'm sorry, I was just looking at Allie because we were talking even before you came on that you're actually on Gotham this year as well.
Yeah, I actually, I don't know if this is a spoiler. I mean, I guess if you haven't seen Gotham.
It was 2 weeks ago. If you haven't seen it, shame on you.
Yeah, okay.
Go ahead and say it.
Yeah, so yeah. I'm dead already at Gotham. It was extremely disappointing.
Listen, sometimes your wife poisons you. It happens.
Yeah.
What was that like, though, when you got the call? Because you've played Penguin's dad before in Batman Returns.
I did, and it was incredible. I went out to lunch with a friend of mine in New York, Carol Kane, who was playing the Penguin's mother on Gotham. And she asked me, was I interested in any way in doing something that would be like... you know, connected to the show. And then they said to me, she brought along Robin Lord Taylor, who plays the Penguin.
He's wonderful. To lunch,
and the two of them asked me, you know, they're thinking about bringing the father in. Would you in any way do it? And I said, yes, immediately. I love the show. I love Robin's performance and character. And Carol Kane is such a longtime friend of mine. I thought it would be very exciting. And then I found out I was going to die like the second week. So.
And you're like, come on.
I have also been enjoying you in your recurring role on The Blacklist. And I'm just wondering if it's just as an actor. I mean, people always like doing lots of different things. Do you love when you get cast as the dark guy?
Oh, it's fun, yeah. It's more fun in a way to do comedy because you don't take that home with you and you can be light and fun and everything's funny. But Dramas are really exciting also. It's a switch, and a lot of times the villains are, you know, written better and more fun, and you know, get to be evil.
Talking to Paul Reubens about Pee-wee's Big Holiday. See it now on Netflix and forever, by the way, on Netflix. It's really, really funny. And I wanted to ask you one more Pee-wee question. That is, I have heard that you have collected over the years lots of bootleg Pee-wee stuff. And there's a lot of it from around the world and across the decades. What are some of the, like, coolest things that you came across in your travels, Paul?
I collect it just to have it on exhibit when I sue all those people.
Have a lot of people put Pee-wee on a lot of items that maybe you wouldn't have chosen to endorse?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to think. I'm blanking out a little bit on what I have. I have so much stuff. I mean, it's all kinds of weird stuff. There's everything from posters and books to dolls and all different kind of toys that when you look at, they're just like they're weird in some way. Like they left some detail out, or they were made in Asia where there's a language gap and the translation is odd. And yeah, there's all kinds of weird stuff out there. I'm trying to get going on doing a bunch of new merchandise, so I hope there'll be some really cool stuff to compete with all the bootleg stuff.
Yeah. Well, see the Netflix show, and also they still run from time to time. I think it's on Showtime, your Broadway show that airs on Showtime or HBO, one of them pretty frequently,
Broadway
too, right,
Paul? Broadway show is on HBO, and Pee-wee's Playhouse is now on Netflix. All 40-some newly remastered episodes. They look amazing and like high def. The Pee-wee's Playhouse never looked like that when it originally aired on television.
That's fantastic. And I know you've been close to the character for so long that maybe it's hard for you to wrap your head around it. But, I mean, you've created something that is going to survive all of us. You know, like in 100 years, people will still love Pee-wee. And that just must be so wonderful to know that you've left that mark on the world, Paul.
Well, I won't even know in 100 years.
That's true. Yeah. I don't want to end the talk on a down note, but I have to say, we'll all be dead, Paul. But Pee-wee lives on. That's my point.
Bummer.
Pee-wee's Big Holiday on Netflix. You're awesome, Mr. Reubens. Thanks so much for coming on. We really enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you.
You bet.
106.7 K-Rock. It's K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 8:26.
Still on his phone.
Jay is hearing something in his head that the rest of us aren't hearing. I don't know what that is.
Hey, Jay. I'm hearing, you know what I'm hearing? All right. I was going to do Colin Quinn for a little bit. I thought I would cheer Bean up. All right, Bean, you seem to enjoy the obscure impressions, you know? He's like a hip guy. If he had this impression, he'd be in vinyl. All right.
I like it. I like it.
No, Colin, I walked Quinn in sort of sauntering.
Yes, that was weird.
Everybody's saying, 30 seconds. You got to go. You got to. And I'm like, you know, I do radio also, and I'm a comic.
Jay knows how long 30 seconds is.
So I felt like Mike Fratello. I was like, man, 4.7 seconds. We move it to half court. That's like two possessions. I'm fine. I'm like, 30 seconds. A lot. I can go down the hall and pee and get back in.
But not all of our guests are like that. We have Dave running around and Christine's chasing people down and they couldn't find you. So we were just a little
concerned.
Who's
Dave? The Mexican guy. Yes. You see, I got the new Showtime thing, right? You see him? He came here in a Nova.
Like a little dice impression. Very nice.
He's a dummy, right? Bean's up there. You know what he's looking at right now? Jugs. Oh. He's got a whole rack of them in his house. They're filled with honey, right? You know, I mean, like, beehive stuff.
Hey, yes, Jay Moore.
Yes, sir.
Improv.com, by the way, or jaymoore.com at the Hollywood Improv. That is going to be tomorrow night at 8. Tickets on sale now. Just $20 to see the great, the legendary, the one and only Jay Moore on stage tomorrow night. I got to tell you this because I think this will blow your mind the way it blew our mind. We had a caller last hour who said that there was a poll on the internet about the way people wipe. The percentage of people who wipe standing up versus the percentage of people who wipe sitting down. Did you know that there was a controversy in that department?
No, I would think when you stand up to wipe, you immediately sort of waffle press your own poo, poo bear.
So you're a sitter.
Are you a sitter?
When I go number
when
two.
When you wipe.
What am I?
You remain seated when you wipe?
What am I, a gypsy? I just stand up and shoot it out?
No, not when you're pooping.
My wife!
How do you, wipe while you're still sitting or do you stand up to
after
wipe?
After I poo.
Yes.
I remain seated so there's no
you're
mess.
You're a sitter?
Really?
Everyone is.
No,
everyone isn't. So we put up a poll. This is why I bring it up. We put up a poll.
You just run out of ideas? All right.
No, because a list brought this up.
All right.
Look,
This is one of those things that nobody knows what other people do because you're always alone when you do it. So everybody assumes that people do it like they do. Okay.
You're at the glory hole.
Here's the Twitter poll. Stand up right now is at 36%. Sit down is at 53%. Wow. And the third option, who wipes, is at 12%. So I don't want to talk to those people.
That's your Ross Perot. That's your outlier. So you put those people into the, divvy it up 70-30 to the sitting. If you poo. Mm-hmm. I just realized.
Yes, Norm.
No, my own voice goes into these.
Okay.
If you, Bean.
Yes, Norm.
I knew a guy named. Well, that's a different story. in Ottawa. If you sit down to go to the bathroom, it's because you may make a mess. You know,
right?
You don't want to stand up. Well, when you're done with that. That might make more of a mess.
Well, I still stay coming out.
So you're a sitter as well?
I'm a midnight toker.
Who goes poo standing up? You just back into a urinal?
No one does. No one is saying that.
You're a sitter?
No, we're talking about for cleanup, though. That was the listener called to ask
about
cleanup.
Let's speak in pragmatics.
And we didn't know there was a controversy. That's
not
all.
Wendy Williams band. That's the spasmatics.
That's the plasmatics, okay. Right.
Plasmatics? Completely different. Say what now? Huh? Oh, okay. Listen, if you are sitting down and you have a bowel movement,
right.
Things pass through the area.
Right, we understand.
Yes, we understand how it works.
The moment you stand up, it no longer is in that seated, relaxed position. It kind of closes each cheek towards one another, and you're making a filthy, disgusting mess of yourself. Then you're there for like an hour.
I don't know what's happening in your bathroom, but that's
I'll tell you. You know what I'm doing? I'm sitting down to make a bowel movement, Bean. This is real easy. Every time I say something like,
"Hey, is that how they're doing in Jersey?" Jay?
No, you just had a poll where what I'm saying is leading, and you're acting like, "Okay, crazy."
But it's
part
of the universal.
Poll, 70% of people wipe sitting down.
Well, what are you doing, Jay?
So now you're the weirdo, right? Jay Moore at the Hollywood Improv tomorrow night at 8, improv.com. Jay, I know you know this because we told you Saturday night. Thank you for what you did for us, by the way, for stepping in and being on the April Foolishness and slaying and being as good as I've ever seen you be. And I was nervous as hell when you were standing up on top of that stool on that stage that you were going to fall and we were going to get sued.
I've done that story a few times. That was an amazing night. Like, I don't have any jokes. That was
okay.
That was ridiculous.
I'd like to talk about that in a second, but we need to take a break. Is that cool?
Hit the post, gentlemen.
Right?
Jay
will be right back.
Grammy-nominated comedian, actor, radio host, podcast host, longtime friend of the Kevin and Bean Show, our friend Jay Moore in studio right now, Hollywood Improv this Saturday night. That's tomorrow night, don't you know? Improv.com. Tickets just $20 to see Jay. We had to cut you off in the story, but you were talking about being at Foolishness on Saturday. You all right?
Yep.
Why? What happened? What have you heard?
What happened?
I don't know.
No, Alan.
April Foolishness, I really want to talk to you guys about that because...
Are we in trouble?
No. I texted Kevin after the show, and I said, this was like an amazing thing you guys put together. Like, all these the comics backstage alone connecting. Like, to see Drew, to see Mike, and to have Saga come up to you and go, hi. Everybody was so kind.
That's a standard greeting in the Western world, by the way.
It's always like, hey, look at these guys. I said Saget. You know, it's like talking to Harlan, where it's like, hey, you want to come to my house for a canoe race? I have Peggy Sue on VHS. And it was just, everybody seemed to be completely stripped of any ego, nothing.
Do you never hang out with other major comedians like that?
Well, we're never in the same town at the same time. If I'm headlining someplace, they're headlining 1,000 miles away. So that's why... to do a show with your friends, like me and Fitzsimmons backstage. I love his podcast. I love him. I know him from so long ago. And I know from, being friends forever. And it was just so nice. It was just great. And it was funny because IFT is pacing backstage. I'll give you a bird's eye view of backstage.
Sure.
We are live at the Shrine Auditorium. Me and Fitzsimmons are talking, and will you make that work? Me and Fitzsimmons are talking backstage.
I think Jay's trying to
periscope. Completely relaxed and just talking about our kids, and Eddie Ift is just pacing because he's got to follow Saget, who has the guitar, and he's bringing a guy up on stage, and Ift is like, oh, are you kidding me? Yeah, so he's going to bring another guy on stage? And then I looked at Fitzsimmons. I said, do you ever get like this? And he goes, no. I said, if I woke you up at the Apollo, we were in Harlem, you take a nap, a good hour nap, I wake you up, and I go, you got to go now. Go. You have to go now. What would be your role? And before I could finish, he goes, how much time am I doing? I said, yeah.
That's a pro.
That's all I would want to know. Like, let's get after it.
And is it weird to you that Eddie would pace back and forth like that? Is that...
Because
you weren't showing any nerves either, Jay.
No, I could nap before a show.
You could nap before a show.
I go, yeah, I am unconscious before a show. Because I think it's the repetition. I think it's like if you're... When I was having panic and I was afraid to get on an airplane, like, oh, I'm claustrophobic and this, hey, you get on an airplane twice a week to make your money. It's your only source of income. Eh, eventually.
Then you don't think about it.
I'm just going to get on the plane and go to bed. If I'm sleeping, nothing bothers me. But before you go on stage, after 29 years, it's the only thing you know how to do. And that guy that was doing the interviews all the way around, where they're like, hey, go talk to that guy from Forbes. He's doing... An interview.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
About there was I was ushered to
really?
An area of the Forbes guy. He wound up doing an article about Eliza.
Okay.
About making $1 million doing stand-up comedy.
Okay.
But it was like, oh, I was talking to you for 45 minutes, jerk. Well, what about touring with your friends? And he's telling me, you know, Neil Diamond said, if you don't get nervous for you on stage, that's when you don't care. So I go, well, don't, okay, I've never cared more in my life, ever. And the reason I don't get nervous before I go on stage is because I guess it's like.
Because you've done it so much.
Yeah, learning the rules before you break them. And Provenza was saying, how much of that was prepared? I go, none. And he goes, but don't, how do you not, everyone's got like words on a napkin. I go, when you go on vacation to Hawaii, you can bring 20 suitcases. You know your bathing suit's in the one. You don't keep checking the whole time you're there. When
right.
I'm going to the pool, I'll go to it.
Right.
And I don't know. It was just hanging out with friends and going on stage with nothing in my head. And I got up on that stool to tell the Farley story. And then the only thing I thought I'd close with was rapid fire all my impressions. Are affable and agreeable. They're all yes.
That was funny.
They're all yes. Yeah. Yeah.
That was funny.
Yeah. You know. oh yeah. On a cow. Wow. All my impressions are yes, men.
How long has it been since you've been nervous before a show? Has it been 20?
No. There's shows I get. The NASCAR Awards. That's wow. Tuxedo. Cameras, and it's very corporate. Corporate shows sometimes, but you know what?
Is that because you don't know what to expect from the audience? Like, they're not necessarily there to see you?
They are there to see you, but you don't know what they're going to get because they're next to their boss or their regional manager or something like that. NHL Awards was the last time I got bat guano, and I got really nervous, and I thought about my son asking me about last year's awards. And he said, were you nervous? And I said, I was. But then I realized I was really prepared. And then I'm like, yeah. And then I think
that just makes it go away?
So I guess 4 years ago.
Jay, do you ever get to, you mentioned these award shows.
Ha, it's Lily. Ha, is that being a singer, right?
do you ever get starstruck when you meet other celebrities?
Oh, yeah. And it's
really?
Always a strange, random, like... actors, you go, okay, and then all of a sudden, like, Huey Lewis, I would probably be like, whoa, I'm just a random example.
Right.
Or fighters. Like, when I was on Saturday Night Live, Bean, and George Foreman was hosting, he had just become heavyweight champion at, like, almost 50 years old.
Yeah, I remember
and
that.
And I walked
right.
in to shake his hand. He had to go meet the host. And I said, hi, champ. And I realized it's the first time in my life I was saying hi, champ, to the champ.
Right.
We all say it.
To the only one, right.
And it was, like that what became the starstruck in the rabbit hole. And Rufus Wainwright, after you see him do a show, and then you go upstairs
you
to say hi, and you think, well, how are you just like this guy saying hi? You just did this opera in French about your mom dying. Yeah, I definitely get starstruck, Bean.
You had Kevin was telling me.
Oh, sorry.
Kevin was telling me you had Crispin Glover on the podcast recently.
Yes, very interesting.
Crispin Glover.
Because he was long. We did about 2.5 hours because
I haven't heard about him in 10 years.
He's touring with his books and his movies. He came to the More Stories podcast, free More Stories app, absolutely free. I get nothing from it, my friends, other than knowing you're on board. And he shows his movies. What is it?
That was the weirdest movie ever made.
Well, and he wants to push the boundaries, and we had a really good discussion. And I said, at what point is pushing the boundaries and making an audience uncomfortable just completely self-indulgent? If you talk about cinema verite, and the only time anybody came close was Andy Warhol, Empire State Building, because it's 17 hours, like, that's just self-masturbatory garbage.
Right.
And he goes, yeah, to you. It was long.
He's a legitimate weirdo, though, right? Like, he's not pretending.
Yeah, but he's on the inside of the tent leaking out, not the other way around. He's a guy you want. I want a brand that operates that way. His books are amazing. His books
are... I've never read his books.
So, well, there's not like, oh, the me story. I mean, it's like, we went to the zoo, and there's like a photo. And then mom brought sandwiches. Like, it's, but they're brilliant. Do you know what I mean? They're just fascinating books.
The only experience we ever had with Crispin Glover, who, by the way, a lot of people would know from the Back to the Future movies. That was probably his highest profile
movie.
But
he sued Spielberg and he sued DreamWorks and all those guys because they had another actor in his life mask.
Oh.
And they used old footage of him for the second movie
after he said
they offered him less than what the guy, was it Leah Thompson?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Less than half of what Leah Thompson was making.
Well,
and he said, And then they took his likeness. You do a life mask when you make a movie. They cover your face with – it's panic-inducing. Only your nose holes are free. They put straws in your nose holes because they're pouring cement over your face to your shoulders.
That sounds terrifying.
And it's an hour. And if you move and crack it, they got to start over. They used his life mask of his face, put it on another actor with prosthetics, and that guy walked around, hey, you. And then
– Are you sure he wasn't kidding?
No, this is very well documented. He sued – Steven Spielberg and DreamWorks and Screen Actors, and he won, and no one will ever be able to use your likeness again.
He stole his face.
He said on my podcast, he goes, "Well, it's stealing. It's stealing. You're stealing."
Of course,
and I was like,
I didn't even know
what
went on.
You just Google search his name and lawsuit.
What is the purpose of those life masks? How are they meant to be used?
Like the movie Mafia, I was a scene where we were doing the English. The whole thing's a spoof. So if I'm burnt from my car exploding from the mob, then I show up at my father's funeral and I'm burnt like Ralph Fiennes in The English Patient. So they got to make burn stuff prosthetics.
Oh, I see.
They do it on my life mask before I get there. So it fits my face, and then if they need something later down the line.
Is it freaky when you put it on afterwards or just while they're doing it?
There's nothing not – on that movie, I had 3 hours of bald and like wispy hair, like burn head and face, and we were at a cemetery in Inglewood. It was 108 degrees, and some reason by 2 p.m. they had not gotten to my club. I'm the star of the movie, and they're like, let's shoot that horse. Because it's Don Corleone, Don Bosco, and Don Quixote, and they like a gag. There's a guy sitting there on a horse,
right?
And then I just started freaking out and like pulling it off my face. But it'll take your skin off because they have to use this special remove this from your skin without pulling it off stuff. And I was like, you know what? Worth it. Like that's
just to get out of this.
That's panic. Off? I began. Well, I called. Well, first I called my agents.
Right.
The prosthetic. How can I? And I said, you have to shoot me now or I'm going home.
Show business is so glamorous, Jay.
You know, my wife, when she was on Star Trek, she's the only child ever beamed up Sarjenka.
Really?
No kidding.
And she's allergic to prosthetics. And she said, I'm allergic to prosthetics. And her mom said, she's allergic to prosthetics. And the guy goes, you know what? You're just nervous. It's okay. And then they took it off, it was just like... just slices of thin carpaccio leaving her face.
The
guy takes it off, goes home. And then, like, the school and, like, the Children Protective Services people were like, where'd he go? The guy just, like, I'm good. Bye.
Got
like
the scene.
Famous, like, Westmoreland folks.
Wow. I feel like there are so many stories like that of things that actors go through that never get told, Jay. You need to write another book, son.
I'm going to write a book about a couple things, I believe. And
you
I got
to
tell you.
You have another book?
Because your SNL book was so great. I wish you would write another one.
A priest and a comic walk into a bar. I want to write a book about converting to Catholicism. Nobody.
No, I mean write a good book that people want to read. That's what I mean.
All right, Bean. You know, that's the good thing about Bean. You know, he always comes in and sort of soft shoes the message. I think they call him Gregory Hines, where he's from up there. Hey, how's Robinson Cano doing? All right. It's a Mariners reference. Kevin, play along.
Yes, Chip looking at me like three games. Going
Chip,
great.
Chip looking at me like my dog when I run out of cheese. I'm sitting on the couch watching the Kings. Playoff hockey. All right.
Jay, we're almost out of time. What are you going to be doing at the improv tomorrow night?
Improv tomorrow night is going to be amazing. I know it. An hour and 40 minutes or so, no opening act, and it's me.
And no Sunday this weekend, so this is the one and only chance to see you is tomorrow night, right?
No Sunday, meaning?
Meaning sometimes when you come in, you're playing a weekend, you're pushing the Sunday night hard.
Sorry,
this
buddy,
time it's just one night only.
Hollywood Improv, sorry, I was a rap. Hollywood Improv, Saturday night only, 8 p.m., no opener. Grip it and rip it, empty the chamber, and it's like at April Foolishness, those odd stories about my son and this and that.
What's the different mindset if you have an hour 40 versus at Foolishness where you had whatever?
Where is this going to? I assemble an airplane. I've finally figured this out, Kevin. I've been asked this for 3 years because it's an entirely different show.
That's what I would think.
Get the laugh, bang, bang, you're F. I got him again. Ah! It's not whack-a-mole anymore, but I'm not conceding any fun. It's for 40 minutes, I'm assembling an airplane. I got four topics in the air. And then for the next 40 minutes, where do I land this? These people need a payoff.
That sounds terrifying to me.
No.
Not at all.
It's amazing. All right. You know what it is? I'm in the supermarket with my mom. She's visiting from New Jersey. And she has, and I talk about this on stage. And somehow, how do you make that funny? Well, that's the trick.
That's what you do.
And she's early onset dementia. And we're in the market. She goes, what about this? I go, I'm going to tell you what I tell the audience. Follow me. Trust me. If I make a mistake, I'll turn around. We'll both laugh. That's it. Boom. Sometimes you hit a dead end. It's the Winchester Mystery House when I'm up there. You open a door, there's a brick wall, and I go, I really thought that was going to be a lot funnier than it was. And
sometimes it's the wonder spot, and people just sit there in amazement, right?
It's I know, like, we talk about set of the night with April Foolishness.
Right.
I don't need to see anybody else's set. It was like a paradigm. Like, I know, for me, I had set of the night. I know what I did. I went up there with nothing. I was completely empty, and it was like...
Well, I'm happy you believe that, Jay.
Well, it's good. You know what I like? When you're on the mic doing that stand-up, when you make that walk.
Hollywood Improv, $20 improv.
Oh, no. I'll stay another segment. You're not leaving me on that.
No, we're done now.
Last time you made fun of my dead mother's pinky ring. Is that what they do with the pinky rings in Jersey, Jay? You're really aggressive and wear pinky rings?
We love you, man. It's always great to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Oh, Christ.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:56.
How's Pia, Ralph?
She seems to be good.
Okay.
She seems to be well-rested, Bean. I think we're good to go. What kind of question is that? I don't know.
Because she was at the thing last night, and I assumed it was a late night with lots of American Idol-style partying afterwards. That's why. I just wondered if she was scraping herself off the sidewalk to get in here this morning.
This is really a question for her, I think, okay. More so.
Well, I thought you might have. I know you're friends with Pia. I thought you might have spoken with her.
Where do you come up with these random facts?
Because I know how show business people are, man. They all hang out.
Bean is making up a world that just hasn't existed in the up until like 6 months ago. It's all new to him now.
Really, he has a full-blown VR world.
Seriously.
That did you take the blue pill or the red pill? What happened to you where now everything is fictional? Everything
you people,
in your life is a complete manifestation of your imagination.
Look, you people who live in Hollywood and hang out and go to the fancy parties and do the drugs and have the orgies and stuff, I just assume that you guys are all like buddies and stuff. So I was just wondering how if you checked in and how Pia's doing. That's all.
Bean has gone bye-bye.
He really has.
Well, we'll speak with her coming up right up the top of the hour. First, though, Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Friday.
Before April Foolishness, he said, you're friends with Eliza Schlesinger. Why don't you get her on the phone and talk to her? I was like, I met her here once, did her podcast, and that was really...
Okay, but that's quality time.
We don't share bruschetta or anything.
He just doesn't know how friendship works.
It's really a foreign concept to him.
All right, so just acquaintances then, I guess.
Sorry, can't help you there.
But,
She's in the next room. You're going to be talking to her next. You can have all those questions you had for me. Okay. You can ask her about.
Save them for a person who might know the answer.
What her American Idol experience was like last night. Maybe she'll have some answers for you.
Big show. That's all.
Okay, right. Still, how does that? What's it mean to me, the consumer?
All right, I'll save the questions.
You let yourself out. All right, time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
I'm still shaken up, whatever, with American Idol. I'm shaken up about Irma Bule. I can't get over Irma Bule passing. I mean, what are we going to do now without Indonesian pop singer Irma Bule, who died during a concert on Sunday after a cobra bit her on stage?
Ha ha!
She does the show with a cobra?
If American Idol was using cobras, they'd still be on the air.
I'm in.
They wouldn't have said goodbye last night. They'd be the highest rated show every year forever. If, while you were singing, and Randy Jackson was telling you you're pitchy, there's just a cobra on the stage just roaming
just
around.
Just go wherever it wants.
Ready to strike at any time.
I think you're right about that.
So she's a pop singer that uses that cobra
part of her act,
for every show.
Part of her act, Kevin, is several
poisonous
snakes she performs on stage with. And she's out there on the stage giving it her all. And she stepped on a king cobra's tail. I don't know if you know this about snakes or not. I have a degree in herpetology.
Do you?
Yeah. But snakes do not like to have their tails stepped on.
Oh, so that's a bad thing
for them?
That's
a bad thing.
Okay.
And he came around and nipped her in the thigh. And she is the ultimate professional.
Cobras don't nip.
I don't think, by the way. He sank his poisonous fangs into her thigh. That's what I meant to say. And the ultimate professional, she continued to perform on stage for about 45 minutes. And then that's when the vomiting started and the seizures and the collapsing.
All on stage.
All on stage.
So she's not a professional then.
She is a professional.
She was.
But now she's gone. She was taken to the hospital and then later passed away. So our condolences to all the Bule fans out there.
There's a lot of them.
A lot of Bule. Bule, Bule. Don't perform with snakes.
That's good advice. That's a good tip.
I think when Alice Cooper used to do it back in the 70s, I think that those were defanged snakes. I don't think he was
in
any kind of danger.
He would use boa constrictors.
Oh, right.
And boas will wrap around their prey, suffocate it, and then swallow it whole.
Right.
So they're not known really for their poison, like venomous snakes, like cobras.
So, wait, are you saying don't play with snakes?
You can play with them all you want. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to alienate the snake community. I'm just saying maybe in a high-pressure performance setting, it's not the perfect co-star.
Snakey no likey.
This is making insanely good sense to me.
Well, that's why I'm Mr. Hollywood. That's why I'm hanging out with Pia Toscano at all the post-idol parties. You're a magician. Hey, remember I told you about Blac Chyna?
Yes.
She's dating Sock King Rob Kardashian.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And now they're engaged. And I mentioned that, of course, she used to date Tyga, but then she was proposed to, and she and her mother, Tokyo Toni, went to the strip club to celebrate. Well, there's another member of the family now who's in the mix, King Cairo. Of course, King Cairo is the son of Blac Chyna and Tyga.
Okay.
What am I reading from the Jungle Book? Is this a Rudyard Kipling story? Apparently, Tyga wants full custody of King Cairo, and Blac Chyna is trying to stop that. And so sources say Tyga is trying to destroy the life of Blac Chyna by driving a wedge between her and King Cairo.
These names aren't making any sense to me.
I know.
Is this real?
I feel like I'm describing a video game. But, it's a lot of hassle. So, Rob's got a sock full of trouble with that one. That's all I'm telling you. So, I wish them all the best. Deeply concerned.
I don't feel like you wish them the best or you're concerned.
Sam Rockwell's got a new movie in theaters this weekend. Love him. Love him so much.
He is great.
Sadly, the series based on his sci-fi comedy Galaxy Quest that Amazon was supposed to do has gone by the wayside. They've decided not to go ahead with a series based on that show. And I think that's a real miss, because I thought that would have been a great continuation of that storyline. Either way, either to do a series based on the series that they were supposedly the stars of back in the day, a Star Trek-type series that could have been a comedy, or the further adventures of those actors after they had left the show and worked the Comic-Con circuit and that kind of stuff. There's a lot to do, but...
Not happening.
Not happening. Sad. It's a bummer, right?
Yeah.
And while we're talking TV news, I know I'm running late, but real quickly, Melissa McCarthy, who you guys talked to earlier today, has agreed to come back to appear on the Gilmore Girls revival on Netflix. So,
how about that?
I'm going to get the whole gang back together again on that show.
She was kind of the only big name that had not previously been signed up for this. So a lot of people were like, hey, where's Sookie?
To the best of my knowledge, it was strictly a scheduling kind of thing. She wanted to do it, but they weren't sure if she could carve out the time in her very busy schedule. But apparently it's going to happen. So you're going to get Sookie.
Nope.
What? I'm just saying.
Don't.
Five Bucky. Today's celebrity birthdays. John Schneider, one of the Dukes from Hazzard County, as well as Pa Kent from Smallville, 56 years old today. Biz Markie is 52. Robin Wright turns 50. Patricia Arquette is 48. Katie Sackhoff celebrates her 36th birthday. Taylor Kitsch from Friday Night Lights, 35 years old. And Ezra Koenig from Vampire Weekends, 32. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This is that very special time of year in the sports calendar where Kevin backs off on talking about goddamn soccer and starts talking about playoff hockey.
Oh, there's still soccer.
I know there's still soccer, right. But let's face it. Right now, your thoughts are all on Kings of the Playoffs,
yep.
Right?
Yep,
that's
yep.
where
yep.
you're at. And I'm excited to say, just like last year, Pia Toscano joins us in studio here on the Kevin DeBeach Show to talk about big weekend ahead for her and ahead for the Kings. How are you, Pia?
I'm great. How are you?
It's a pleasure to see you. It's always great to have you on the Kevin DeBeach Show. We're going to talk Thank about your you. New songs that came out last night.
Yes.
We're going to talk about your event at Staples Center tomorrow. But I want to start with, because we saw you on our TVs last night.
I know.
What was it like being there for one of the craziest star-filled shows in American Idol history for their series finale?
It was very surreal. I mean, just the whole rehearsal process and seeing all the Idol alum, like people that I've watched over the years, like Justin Guarini was a big one for me.
Because you were a little kid when I was 12. Idol started, right?
I was 12 years old. I remember Kelly Clarkson came on my screen. I fell in love with her. I had to highlight my hair just like her. The show was huge in my life. I auditioned over the span of like 4 years. It took me like five times before I made it to Hollywood. So this was like a big deal for me last night. And ironically, I was eliminated 5 years ago on April 7th. And so the anniversary was last night. And then I came back. I performed on the show.
So well, you've done pretty well for yourself.
I'd say you've done.
Yeah, I would say I've been working really hard. Yeah.
You were top 10 in season
10.
9? 10. In season 10. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And by the way, and then we'll move on, but they did it such a beautiful job because they had so many artists from the past, from all the 15 seasons to work out, that they had to do a lot of very creative staging
right.
and medleys where you had 2, 3, 4, 5 people singing all at the same time. And
yeah.
it was just so brilliantly choreographed the way they did it. I was really impressed with it.
It was amazing. Nigel Lithgow is phenomenal, and he has great visions for – he's phenomenal with television. You know, so we were like, oh, how are these medleys going to work? And then he just knows what's going to work on television, and it was great. It wasn't boring. Everybody was excited to see their past favorites.
Does it make you nervous some because you don't know how that's going to work out?
Yeah, I mean, there were moments where I'm like, ooh, how is that going to look? But then I just trust him, and like American Idol puts on a great show. I mean, I always know – you know, my angles are going to be good. Like, I just know that they're very complimentary, and they just want you to look the best. They want you to sound the best. So, you know, I feel like I'm in very good hands there. So I was excited, but definitely nervous to go back. And then I just got on stage, and then I was like, okay, God, just take away all my nerves. And he did. And I just...
We had Dr. Drew on a couple weeks ago. We all love Dr. Drew, and he had to sing the anthem, or he was invited to sing the anthem for the first time, and we didn't even know that he had this big opera background.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was just insane leading up to that, so nervous. And
I know.
And I guess you helped him out. You
I
helped
coached
him. With the coaching, right?
I sure
and
did.
And he killed it.
He was awesome.
He was so great. How do you rank singing, because you've done it so many times, how do you rank singing the national anthem at Staples Center compared to being on a big stage like last night or other stages that you performed on?
The national anthem is a different kind of song. You're very exposed. You don't have the help of music, or if you do, it's probably just an organ or, you know, something, you know, small accompaniment wise. But it's a rangy song.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, every time I do the national anthem, I mean, I've done it so many times now that I've learned to control my nerves.
But it just depends, like, how big
there's still a lot
the audience.
To screw up,
it's
isn't
it's
there,
a lot, and you're a cappella, so if
you're vulnerable.
It's
out there.
It's very. I think it's one of the most nerve wracking things to do. Yeah. Honestly, like, so I can totally understand why Dr. Drew was nervous, but I kept telling him, "Don't be in your head. I mean, you're a performer. This is what you do." And he has this like incredible voice. Like, it's
he did a great job.
So
I think he was lip syncing.
The fans loved him too.
Yeah, they did.
They really loved
him. Kevin, you were there that night, right?
Although, yeah, I was there that night. Although, you know, near the end of the national anthem, when they show the Stanley Cup banners, people cheer a little extra loud at that moment.
Yeah.
And I think Dr. Drew was pretty sure that that was for him. Like, he was nailing it.
Let's let him think it.
And I didn't want to tell him that. I was like, I don't want to say anything because he
let
really
him have his moment.
He really, really did a good job
he
doing
did.
It.
Yeah.
So. He did.
And he worked hard. He did.
What is your win-loss record for the Kings in game?
I don't even remember.
You have sung the anthem.
It's better than... My wins are greater than my losses, but I honestly don't remember. I stopped keeping track because there's just been so many games that I've done. But
you are the good luck charm, though.
I think so.
You're sort of like a security blanket for me. If I'm at the game, and she's not there, I go, okay, wait, everything's off just a little bit here. If you're there, I feel better.
Thank you. I appreciate the vote of confidence.
So tomorrow night is the last home game of the regular season, and it is the LA Kings fan appreciation game. So you are going to be there singing the national anthem like you do. But there's also a little something special for Pia Toscano fans tomorrow. Tell us what's going on.
Yes. Well, I just released two singles yesterday, Pyro and You'll Be King, and I'll be performing them at FanFest right before... I sing the national anthem, so right outside the Staples Center, and it's going to be super exciting because the Kings fans have not heard me sing anything besides the national anthem. So the fact that I can sing another song for them, and I'm going to sing several that... you know, of my original songs, it's just really exciting for me.
Be prepared for Do the Anthem!
I know. I'll say, you know, watch me at 7:30. I hope you got a ticket.
So you released two songs last night.
Yes, two.
Is there going to be an album or are albums so 20th century?
No. There's definitely going to be an album. I'm thinking there's at least going to be an EP this summer. But, you know, the fans haven't heard... I call them my sweet peas. They haven't had music from me in like 5 years, like my own stuff.
But you've been performing that whole time. You just haven't been recording, right?
No, I've been recording. It's just, you know, timing is everything. You know, the releases are, it's all very strategic and it's all very, like, it's just a roller coaster of things. You know, everything has to line up the right way. The music has to be completely authentic and it has to be genuine to who you are. And like, so for me, that process took a little longer. I was in some record deals that didn't work out, and now everything has completely aligned the way I wanted it to. So I released two records yesterday.
Let's play a clip from each of these
songs
because we're very excited to hear them ourselves and to have our listeners here. Which one's up first here, Kevin?
Pyro.
Yay.
Is first. Remember me with your touch, baby. Shame you can't sing.
Yeah, you can't hit those notes.
It's really
at
a bummer.
All.
That's no, really
thank God for the national anthem. Help me hit all those notes.
All right, and then the other one is a ballad, and this one has a curious title, Pia, that we want to ask you about after we hear a little bit of "You'll Be King."
Okay. You'll be king of all my empty spaces, all the lonely places that I've gathered for your throne. A house of clouds I've come to call our home. It need of hands to build, to crown you.
How about
holy
that?
Holy crap,
that.
Pia Toscano.
You'll Be King is my favorite record.
Is it?
I love it. It was one of the most... Okay, so here's the story behind You'll Be King.
Yes. And you wrote it, right?
I co-wrote it with Matt Hutchinson and Kevin Martin. Okay. And so I was working with Kevin and Matt during... this time. It was a very vulnerable time in my life. I was going through some things. I had gotten really sick, and I was going through a breakup too. And Matt, he like knew my whole life story because this is a very therapeutic time for like songwriting is very
it's
therapeutic.
A release.
Yes. Yeah. So I literally had to tell them what was going on in order to get these songs to be as genuine as possible. And so Matt the Kings won the Stanley Cup the night before, and Matt came up with this piano riff, and he was like, because you sang the national anthem, I just had you'll be king, like king. We want to do something with the word king because the Kings won the Stanley Cup, and we did, and it's a love song, but like a heartbroken kind of love song. You know, you'll be the king of all my empty spaces. Like,
I know all about that, Pia.
Yeah. So the Kings definitely, ironically, influenced the title. It's like, you know, because it's epic. It's an epic word. Like, so, yeah. Ironically, we wrote it right after the Kings won the Stanley Cup.
Which would you have rather, that the relationship had survived and the Kings had not won the Stanley Cup, or the way it happened?
What a terrible
question. I'm happy
with
the way it happened.
Okay, all right.
It wasn't meant to be.
All right. What time tomorrow night out in front of Staples Center, Pia?
I go on at 5.
5 o'clock.
Okay.
Right? Yeah, I hope.
So you'll be performing those songs?
She'll be there regardless.
Those
I'll
songs and others.
Yes, and those two songs, and then I have another EDM feature coming out, actually today, I think. And that's, I'm going to perform that tomorrow too. It's called
Fantastic.
Siren.
All right.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I heard that. I heard that yesterday. Yeah, that's really good too. Wow. Yeah. You got a lot going on right now, Pia. This is awesome. The timing has finally all come together.
Oh, my God. The stars have aligned.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's great.
All
right.
God.
So Staples Center starting tomorrow afternoon at 5. And of course, Pia will be singing the national anthem. And that means good luck for the Kings. That is going to be tomorrow night as well. And hopefully we'll see you again very deep into the playoffs, Pia. Thank you so much for coming back. We love you
so much for having me.
Hey! The rest
damn
of us were
right,
not.
Damn yeah. right, yeah.
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 Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:43 on the world famous K-Rock.
We were talking to Gwyneth Paltrow a few minutes ago about, among other things, the sound bath, Ralph. And I heard from several listeners who have done this sound bath thing and like it. Hmm. Heather writes in, there's a place outside Joshua Tree called the Integraton. It is awesome. We've had the sound bath there. It's really cool. You lay on the floor and your guide runs their finger along a rim of quartz bowls that creates vibrations. Not that rim, Kevin.
Oh, yeah.
It's a super
rim my
cool
quartz
feeling.
Bowl, I always say when I go in to get a massage.
I am not usually
no one's ever rimmed my quartz bowl.
I am not usually into all the new age stuff, but this place is so cool. So apparently that's a thing now. A sound bath is a thing. Gwen, it's not crazy, it looks like.
Take it easy.
According to Heather.
Write that person back, Bean, and let's light him up.
Yeah, she's not crazy because some guy rims a quartz bowl while she lays there, and that's a thing that she does, but she's not crazy.
What's it supposed to feel like, I wonder, the sound bath? Like, Allie, do you
does
know
it
anything
feel
about
like
this?
Anything.
How does this improve your life?
Shenanigans.
You don't feel anything. It's just the vibrations and the noise.
Right.
It's a lot like how people watch those ASMR videos. Like, it's just a whole other sense of relaxation.
It doesn't sound relaxing at all.
It vibrates your chakras, which I have done, by the way. Last time I got a massage, someone vibrated my chakras.
All right.
Is that extra?
Yeah, it is.
Well, thank you for that, Heather. Ralph is here now with our final look at the show. It's been on a Friday. What's going on?
I had a sound bath once. Mark in the Morning came over and just sponged me down.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So stupid.
It was really not what I expected at all, but I got on the payroll and I made some money, so it all worked out for me.
But Uncle Joe was there to dry you off afterwards,
he was,
right?
Yes. Good time. Let me give you something because you're nice. And you're good people, and you listen to us, regardless of the crap we pump out on this show on a regular basis. We've earned this. Tonight is the big night. It's Kevin's Guys Night Out.
Yay!
At the Bicycle Hotel and Casino. You get to play poker with Kevin Ryder.
It's so fun.
You know how many people have that on their bucket list? Of things they want to do before they leave this, before they shake off this mortal coil.
I don't think that's
things
the,
they want to accomplish in their lives.
I don't think that's the sell.
Geez, have kids. write that novel I've had in the back of my head. Play poker with Kevin Ryder. It's right there on everybody's bucket list.
I don't think so.
You will get to check that off if you are the lucky caller right now. Caller number 21, 1-800-520-1067. Caller number 21. We'll win a spot to play poker at Kevin's table at the K-Rock Guys Night Out at the Bicycle Hotel and Casino.
We also walk around giving away like $200 worth of chips every 30 minutes. Just
randomly?
All willy-nilly.
That's
wow.
kind of cash Kevin has, man. He just hands out
Make it
hundies.
Rain.
He's just giving, hey, you, get yourself something nice. And he just peels off a couple of hundies and sticks it in your shirt pocket.
It's sort of like that.
He slaps your face and walks away. I don't know what the ritual is about, but it's important to him, so let him have it. Tonight at 8 p.m. at the bike... if you're not a lucky winner, do do not despair, because you can still RSVP your spot to play poker with the guys night out right now at thebike.com. Just like it's spelt, thebike.com.
We had a link on the website that sent a guy to a website where they were just trying to sell him bicycles.
Well, they left up the, yeah.
You go to thebike.com, I would think you're trying to pick up something, maybe a beach cruiser.
That's how we roll.
Maybe a 10-speed.
So yeah. It's thebike.com.
Yeah, thebike.com, yeah. Not bike.com. That'd be dumb. The bike.
Unless you need a bike.
Then it's not dumb at all. Then it's actually very useful.
Right.
All right, it is the last showbiz. I need my sound effect. I need the camera, Kevin. I need to do. There we go.
Is that?
Thanks,
we still
buddy.
Do that?
Yeah, we still do that. Each and every freaking showbiz.
That's weird.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take a little time off, I think. I think I'm just going to peel myself off a couple days and just take a long nap.
You'll get
and
the
rest
weekend and you'll be fine. Nope. You'll come back in on Monday.
I don't think so.
You'll feel great, refreshed.
I think on Monday, I'll be feeling all right.
That worked.
Kingsman. The Golden Circle. You guys familiar? This is the sequel to popular Kingsman The Secret Service film that came out. It was one of my favorite films of that year.
Mm-hmm.
Taron Egerton, I hope I'm saying that correctly, starred as Eggy, the kid who was pulled up from the mean streets of London. And you got
so
that,
good. The guy that couldn't talk, that guy. King's Speech, that guy.
Colin Firth.
Yes.
Yes, Kevin. He had a stutter, different than not being able to talk, but
you know, whatever.
He had a speech impediment. You're very close, Kevin. Good for you. You actually got sort of close to what it really was, which is
he's got a wooden hand, if I remember correctly.
We're moving in the right direction. I was trying to think of who's in the mute. What was the mute character
everybody,
from that movie?
I always get the look of what are you talking about? This time, at least
you were.
I was close. I was
right
in
around
the
edges.
Ballpark.
Yeah, Colin Firth, of course, played Henry in that film and sadly met his demise in the course of that film. Spoilers. And we're all very sad at that point in the movie. Or were we? Because they released the poster for Kingsman the Golden Circle, the sequel, this week. Taron Egerton himself posted it on Twitter. And it is simply a picture of Colin Firth's character's glasses. And underneath it, it reads, "Reports of my death have been greatly exaggerated."
Oh. Harry Hart's back.
So, Harry, not Henry, I said Henry. Harry, back. At least they're teasing us with the idea that he's going to be back in this film. So, that's very exciting for me.
It's a great film.
More movie news. Fast 8 is going to be a thing. The next sequel in the Fast and the Furious movie franchise. And they finally got me. Well played.
They finally
well
got you.
Well played, producers of Fast and the Furious films.
Have you seen any of the other ones?
You looked around and said, everyone in the world has seen one of... Hey, wait a minute. That guy hasn't been to see one of our movies yet. And then they got me. When they announced yesterday, Charlize Theron added
right.
to the cast of Fast 8.
Okay.
She's expected to play, and I don't want to give away too much here, according to the report in Variety, expected to play... some sort of villain.
Okay.
Some sort of villain in the story that will be Fast 8 story. That's cute.
It's car porn.
Yes, it is. Vin Diesel, Dwayne Johnson, Therese Gibson, Michelle Rodriguez will all be back for the sequel as well. And adding Charlize Theron to the mix. So,
is there any way they could make a Fast and Furious movie, Kevin, that you wouldn't go see?
I can't answer that, Bean. I've enjoyed all of them.
Okay. I mean, if we were 15 movies in, would you still go?
I don't know. I'm 20? Saying I've enjoyed all of them. I'll go to the next one.
All right.
The beauty is, it's like watching the franchise for the first time for Kevin. It's like, they should make more of these. These characters, and they drive such cars. And it's so good. They should make another one. He forgets it.
I want a good movie.
He just wants a good movie. That's all.
Right? Ralph, what were your thoughts on the controversy that Charlize Theron got into this week with her interview? That it's tough for pretty people to get roles sometimes in Hollywood.
I know a lot of people came down on her, and yes, out of context, of course, it doesn't make any sense because everybody in Hollywood is beautiful and they all work all the time. But I think what she's getting at is. There is a disparity between the kind of roles that they write for beautiful women, beautiful characters in feature films, tend to be a certain type, and those types usually lack a certain amount of depth.
Not meaty.
Whereas the roles they write for less attractive women
tend to have more going on in terms of characterization because not so much is placed on the surface appearance of that actor.
So she honestly feels that women who aren't as pretty as her are getting better offered better roles than she is.
I don't know about that.
Her beauty hurts her.
I think she has encountered situations where she has been interested in a role, perhaps that is dark or weird or twisted, and she has been not considered seriously for those roles because of her looks. I'm sure she's encountered
that. Like, imagine someone playing a cop, but they're considered too pretty to actually be able to be an actual cop.
Imagine
with
that.
Depth.
Who would say that
like
sort
that
of thing?
That kind of thing, Bean.
Alan McKay. Who would even?
Oh, that would be Bean.
Who would verbalize
talking
such
about
an
J-Lo?
Attitude? Oh,
yeah,
well. Although that Miss India is a very realistic FBI agent on Quantico.
See,
there you go again.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
I like Quantico.
Proving your point.
Ding, 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 ding.
By the way, Charlize has I don't want to say this inconsiderately, but uglied up some for some roles.
She's
I mean,
had
she really
to.
She
was
had to
in
yeah.
order to play those roles. I think that's her point. If she went in just looking like she looks, then that she would be considered not believable in a role like that.
Like, she might not have got Mad Max if she hadn't been willing to shave her head and put dirt all over her face and stuff like that, right?
Right. If you want somebody to do something interesting, sometimes you got to ugly yourself up.
I think that might be a legitimate point that she made.
Okay, Dean will allow it.
And I think I will allow it.
You're very open-minded, B. To let someone who has actual experience in the thing that they're talking about say that about themselves.
Yeah, I will allow it.
Wow, that is a very savvy analysis right there.
And then on the other side, you have Scarlett Johansson.
Yes.
For example, is getting a lot of praise for her interview in Cosmopolitan magazine, talking about people in show business who whine about the high price of fame, how difficult it is to be in the public eye to that extent. She says she feels none of that. She says every day she feels very fortunate for the life that she leads. She says, I make a really good living. And she's also proud to be an actress that makes as much as her male peers. I believe she gets paid the same as the other Avengers when she makes those kind of films.
She's a bitch.
She says, talking about her personal experience in a negative way or in a way that makes her a victim seems a little obnoxious to her, so she chooses not to.
My robot that looks like Scarlett Johansson feels the same way.
Yeah. Bean has taught her to nod whenever Bean says something.
That's not why she's nodding.
She's nodding off as Bean talks to the robot. He's got to find that stay awake chip. Have I expressed how upset I am with new release day being moved? The robot just goes into the sleep mode.
A lot of my robots kill themselves. I can't figure it out.
They just rip their own wiring out. Today's celebrity birthdays. Ezra Koenig from Vampire Weekend, 32 years old today. Taylor Kitsch. Is 35. Katie Sackhoff. She is 36 years old. Patricia Arquette, 48. Robin Wright, 50 years old. John Schneider, of course, one of the OG Dukes of Hazzard, 56 years old. Do you remember when the Dukes were replaced? When their other cousins came in and took over?
Nope.
In Hazzard County, and there was that big brouhaha?
No.
No Bo, no Luke, no Peace. Remember that?
Nope.
No.
It happened. Okay.
He's 56 years old today. Also played Pa Kent, of course, on Smallville. And Biz Markie, the Bizster.
Oh, baby, you got what I need. Would you say he's just a friend? Would you say he's just a friend? Oh, baby, you got what I need.
It's my wedding song. My wife and I danced that. Our first song at my wedding. Brings back so many memories. Waltzing to Biz.
At some point, they all got together and went, yes, that's the take.
That's the take.
That's the one right
Print
there.
Print it. Moving on.
Love it.
He is 52 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. See everybody at the Bicycle Casino tonight.
Yeah.
Starting Monday, we've got your tickets for Coachella every single day leading up to Friday. Have a great weekend.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
You won't be disappointed.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Is it Cookie?
Roll another one.
And I'm not interested.
Just like the other one.
This is honestly so stupid.
This one seems to be about to quit.
I don't want to know about
and
bad things at all.
Another hit.
a level of hatred that you can't even believe it. There's a hatred, a deep-seated hatred. We have to find out where is it coming from and what can we do about it.
Roll, roll, roll.
Grandy?
Just like the other one.
She's a farter and a racist.
This one seems to be about to end.
Wow.
Stop. I don't have another cent.
Yeah, time machine is about to leave. Get on board.
But don't fuck up that joint.
That's shameful. That's not American.
This passing around.
What it is.
Soul brother.
That's it. You've gone too far. Go home.
Oh, I didn't say anything.
I'm not arguing. It's an order. Go home.
All right, listen. Don't any of you do that again. I will shut that down. No exceptions.
So let it be written. So let it be done. As you were, gentlemen.
Thank you for listening, and may Allah bless you all as I greet you in peace. Assalamu alaikum.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
I'm tired and almost out of batteries.
All butts are good.